Kings are never going to
So
be.
What is OKC going to do? Buy Chris Paul? They going to buy him out? He ain't going to play. That's Should crazy. They trade and then just what? Nothing? They just.
Yeah, talk about it. What
I'm just saying. Like, what? I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know
you
how
think they
works.
Should buy him out? Or, like, move him on? Like, just there's no point in them keeping him?
I don't know, man. Honestly, I mean, shit, you trade for him. I'm playing. He's playing. I'm not about to let you just walk.
Yeah.
And then you go team up with LeBron and that's what's going to happen. Fucking team up with LeBron and go. Now, he probably go to Miami, I heard.
That's the leading rumor right now. He's going to Miami to play with
Jimmy
Butler.
But is that a good? I don't think that's even a good fit.
That is not a team I'm worried about. As a Celtics fan.
I don't know what that does for their ceiling.
I don't know.
What does Miami have left to give up, right? Like if
I don't think – everything I've read is they're not giving up anything. They're just taking on Chris Paul and picks.
Well, that would make sense if I'm Oklahoma City.
Definitely. Yeah, I'd want a tank from OKC. I don't need Chris Paul. Maybe one game where he can wear the Oklahoma City uniform one last time. And then
I don't think Chris Paul is the difference between tanking or not. Like, he can play on that team. They can still win. Like, if they're going to stink, they're going to stink.
Do you see
I think they still got decent players, but he's not going to change that.
Did you see the picture? It was like him, Peja, Tyson Chandler,
David West.
And yeah. David West all on in New Orleans, and then it was just a picture of three of them holding championships and one of them wearing an Oklahoma City jersey.
Yeah, that's ugly.
It's tough. What has been going on this summer? Like, do you even know who plays for what team anymore?
Me? Yeah. Man, it's been crazy. It's been really crazy. It's been fun, though, to see what teams are stacking their players and what they're getting. It's fun to watch, man, because before guys used to make fun of team. Oh, man, you're going to team up with this guy? Now guys are doing it.
Crazy. We were trying to figure it out yesterday. Does the team even matter anymore, or is it just about playing with your friends?
I mean, well, it depends on what players won championships already. Like, I know guys want to win championships, but if you can't win championships, man, I might as well go play with my homie. Like, go be on his team, I guess. I don't know. I was from a different era, man. Homies are the guys that you are on your team, that your team's with, not like, oh, come here, come to this team. Like, we didn't have the luxury just to be like, I want to go play there. It wasn't like that when I was coming up.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was like, you stay there, that's the team you're on, chill out. So, I don't know. Celtics were the first team. The Celtics were the first team. I mean, shit. I don't know if people wanted to play me. They probably hated playing on my team or playing against me because I was trying to give people hell. I wasn't trying to make no friends like
Shaq
that.
Specifically.
Shaq. I mean, that was like when I was Celtics, he was done. But, you know, that was all this was planned. Shaq was a big goofball. He was the one being goofy. Like, he was the one that was like, yo, let's do this. Like, that's when it's like social media first came out.
Yeah, it was.
I think that's when it first hit. And they were like, yo, you need to, let's do this cookie thing and let's do this fake water. Everything was planned. So.
Yeah, you used to like dunk on Shaq or do something.
I would always try to do that just to get, if he was standing close to any basketball hoop, I was trying to dunk on his ass.
But then one of you would put it on Twitter and get like 36 retweets. Like, that's how small Twitter was compared to that. Now that shit would get like 5,000. It would be on Bleacher Report. We'd rip it. But back then, like 40 of us saw it. We were like, that was pretty funny. No one did anything with it.
It was like 10 years. It sounded like we're talking about the 1950s.
Right? No, but it was like, but in that world, it was like a different, that was like a different era right there. Like,
it feels like a different generation.
It really does.
Yeah, it was. But those are the good old days, man, when you can just go do whatever the fuck you want and nobody had no cameras out and shit. Like, you can't even go eat dinner or lunch or anything. People just fuck, oh, there he is, filming every, like, goddamn, like, can I just eat without you see me scarf a sandwich down? Like, damn, it's crazy.
Is it worse in specific places than others? Like, is there anywhere, like, a lot of people are going to like Wyoming and Montana just to avoid that, but are there like actual cities with civilization where you can just chill anymore?
No, man, somebody know you are somewhere and they're gonna get you. Like, I just saw some funny shit at, who was it? The Greek Freak was at Disneyland or some shit, and he was like struggling trying to get out his little ass car, and like people filming that, like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like, leave him alone. Like, damn, he just fucking won MVP. Like, let him chill. But people, they don't have no chill. Like, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish it was like some shit like The Matrix where you could just fucking crash people's phone whenever I was around. If I could be around and just phones go haywire, you can't just film shit. Just fucking shut off. just sometimes. Like, sometimes you just want to have fun, just right. chill, and not have to be like you're in a fucking fishbowl, everybody looking at you. Sometimes. Just sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes that's...
Yeah, like, you're out with your family, you're eating, like, come on, bro, put the camera away, chill out. Like, 2 seconds, can I eat first?
Yeah.
Like, can I bless my food? Like, damn, can I get a picture? Can I... Let me bless my food first.
Well, yeah, I'll be
talk to
that.
God first. Nah, come fuck with you.
Listen, let me tell you what Nate Robinson did. This guy blew me off. Said his prayers, wouldn't take my picture.
Until after I said, yeah, after I said what's up to my God, to the Omega. Like, yeah, you got to chill. You come second. Like, shit.
Come
first.
At best, second.
Yeah, you come, you know, you wait. You can wait a minute. Like, I used to do that shit to people sometimes. Just make them wait and see how long they'll wait for a picture. Like, all right, just give me a second. Give me 1 second. And see how long they'll wait for a long. Just to see, like, all right, if you're a real fan, you'll wait. If not, you'll be like, oh, fuck, I got, all right, peace.
Yeah. Dikembe kind of did that to us at the All-Star weekend.
Yeah, just to see if they'll wait.
We waited. He didn't care. We'd still be standing there. He'd still be sitting there if we had our druthers. What were you saying before I cut you off? Sorry, Tyler.
I said, no, what's the longest somebody waited where you were like, okay, they're not going to go away. I should just give them the pick or whatever.
Man, one person waited for me to eat my whole dinner with my family. Like, for real, waited. Like, it was like an hour. Like, that's just waited thing. For me at yeah, and then just...
They didn't say nothing the whole time?
Nah, they just sat there and waited. Like, they didn't, like, they was done with their food, sat at the table, and they just waited. Right when I got up, they stood up, like, yeah, get your picture. Like, sorry, anyone.
At least they wait.
But they know, I know, but the one thing I hate, like, don't... Just don't say this as a fan. Oh, man, I'm sorry to bother you. No, you want to bother me. Like, just don't say that. Just, yo, can I get a picture? Just that right there.
Yeah.
And then stop calling me my whole name. That bothers me.
Nate Robinson?
I fucking hate that shit. Like, more than Nathan anything. Andrew? Oh, shit, Nate Robinson. No, nigga, just Nate. Just Nate, please. Just leave the Robinson. Or just call me Robinson. Like, yo, Robinson. Or, you know what I'm saying? Boots. Anything but Nate Robinson together.
What about,
like,
Nate Rob?
That, what's up? Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
Like, what's up, Nate Rob? Like, that's cool. Not, oh shit, what's up, Nate Robinson? Like,
every time you come in now, I'm gonna learn your middle name. I'm gonna
Nathaniel Cornelius. If you're gonna say it right, then shit. Oh, yeah, Nathaniel for sure. Cornelius. Say the whole fucking name then. Don't just, yo, Nate Robinson. I hate that shit.
Oh man,
it's just like D-Wade. D-Wade, son. I fucking hate being called D-Wade, son. Like, people say,
oh, I bet. Yeah, that's
the funniest shit. Oh shit, yo, D-Wade, son. Like, that's some funny shit, but that's real. Like, fuck, don't call me. I hate when people call me that.
LeBron's son's gonna get that too.
Well, shit, he's named after his daddy.
Yeah, but he wears a different number, so no one's ever going to be able to know the connection.
Yeah, I don't think why he does that math. But who's that number 4?
Who's that 6'8 kid doing windmills at 14?
Yeah. Well, he ain't 6'8 yet. He's getting there. Like, he's getting tall.
I know.
He's getting tall.
Ever since, like, LaMelo came on the scene when he was, like, 5'6 with, like, the giant hair, and now I see him, he's, like, an actual 6'7. Like, yeah. I don't even know how to project these kids anymore. Yeah. Like, Bronny might be, like, 6'10. In like 4 years.
We'll see. All I know is, have you seen that video went viral with LeBron when he flicked off the camera, his son? You haven't seen that?
Which one?
When he's saying something. He's like, man, all the girls, what they want to do is clout. And they want to just, like, yeah, they want to smoke the weed. They want to fuck them. I think that's the most funniest video ever. I told my son, bro, I said, if I see that you did that, bro, I'll be cracking up. Like, bro, what's wrong with you?
It was so outrageous. So funny. I didn't even think it was real. But it couldn't have been anyone else. So I was like, it was the most confusing video I've ever seen.
It was so funny. I think that was like the coolest shit ever. Like, that was cool as fuck.
What's going on? Like, this next generation is so interesting to me. Because I don't think I've seen this many, like, elites. Like, Jordan's kids were trash. They were just bad at basketball.
Well, not even just that. Because, I mean, Michael Jordan, I mean, shit, Jordan probably never, ever really had time to actually fucking sit down and work with his kids.
Right.
Man. You know
right.
what I'm saying? All right. the shit that he do and right. all the shoes and everything. He's
but, like,
everywhere.
LeBron doesn't have, like, an empty schedule. You know what I mean? Like,
but he fucking doesn't. He probably hoops with his son.
No, he definitely
he probably,
does.
His probably son has a trainer.
He definitely
but his son
does.
Probably loves basketball. True. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that was the thing. Jordan guys probably grew up, like, they didn't really love basketball like that. It was like, it was going to be guys like the Currys. Like, right. You know, like, they'll curry all them guys' sons and guys that actually probably wanted to really play basketball.
Are you pushing your you kids in certain directions?
Nah, they just, my kids love to hoop. They play football, basketball, run track, play soccer. They play every fucking thing. I love it.
So, Tyler,
is that what you played growing up?
Like, I played football growing up. Basketball, football, ran track.
Okay, because like, there's stuff going on now, like kids that are only playing basketball. Like,
I mean, man, it's only like LeBron James' son is the only person that needs to do that. Like, fuck, you're going to play basketball. That's just what it is. Mm. It is what it is. Like, you're going to be ranked number one since you was born. So it's like, why not? Like, right. You know what I'm saying? You have the platform. You have your dad's going to set everything up for you. You have all the Nike, all the, you got all the hype. You got everything going for you. So training, why wouldn't you? Yeah, like you, why wouldn't, all you got to do, learn now, is take care of your body, eat right, and fucking, you probably don't got to go to school. You just wake up and hoop every day.
Even LeBron played football in high school, you know what I mean? So
because he liked it, you know what I'm saying? But no, probably his son probably, he probably don't push it on him.
But there are studies coming out now that if you, kids who are specializing in just one sport are like breaking by the time they get to like college, and then certainly the pros, because it's too much stress. Like you're not building your whole body. Like you could have went D1 pro. Well, you did in multiple sports.
Yeah, that's what I told my son. I said, you want to be able to pick your sport. Mm-hmm. It's like when you play, but you're putting all your eggs in one basket, you don't make it to the league, and you're going to be like, feel like a failure. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's, and that sucks that, you know, some kids are setting themselves up like that. Like me, I wanted to put my eggs in all. I feel like if I would have been able to play baseball, I could have did that. Major league. If I want to go play soccer against Messi and all them guys overseas, I could have did that too. Like, it's not, you know, any sport. Like, fuck it. If I would have been swimming, anything you can think of, I would have just tried to master it and be like how good I can be. Like, if they're doing it, why couldn't I do it? Like, right. Tennis, it could be anything. Like, I feel like I could have did that. And I want my kids to feel that way too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my son now, my older son, he's getting better in basketball. Like, you know, slowly but surely. And I love that, because I said, bro, I don't want you to reach your peak now.
Right.
Like, wait until you get older, because I don't want to work you. I'll work you and have a trainer right now. For what? Like, what's the point of having a trainer right now? He's 14.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, well, you just focus on going to school, being a kid, yeah, having fun, kid. And then you're going to be, you're going to learn. You're going to learn.
Yeah, is he doing box jumps?
He does all that stuff. Like, he just
is he crazy? Yeah, like you.
Yeah, he just wants to get better, man. And he's about to start football coming up. What's the next couple weeks?
Okay.
High school football at my high school. So it's going to be cool to see, like, yeah, now it's time to have some fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, don't worry about the rankings and all that. Yeah, he's about to be a freshman next year. Don't be worried about the rankings, none of that. Just come in, just enjoy yourself, because when you ball, they'll find you.
Right.
No matter what sport you play, they'll find you. If you're a baller and you put in, you got the love for it in the game, they'll find you. So they do a good job at that. And, I mean, I'm really excited for my daughter, though. My daughter, she's going to be one of the coldest.
Yeah.
She's going to be one of the coldest women hoopers ever. And she loves the game. You know, she loves watching the storm. You know, she's big time with that. And I just love to see her enjoy the game of basketball like how I did. And it's going to be fun to watch her and go all to, like, to tournaments and stuff. Like, I can't wait for her turn.
Who's her favorite player?
She loves Sue Bird.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, she loves Sue Bird. She loves Stewie. She loves Stewie. But just, like, her just watching basketball and being a part of it. Like, last year I took it to the Storms, the finals, and, you know, they gave us tickets to the game. And she was, like, in all of it. And then she wanted to play basketball. And that's how she, you know, fell in love with the game, is watching the finals then. So I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
And now she loves it. She's a badass. And her first year, and they're like, she's never played before? Never. And it's like she's played 5-6 years already.
Yeah. That's awesome.
What did she play before? What other sports, like, did she play before? Or
does she didn't. Well, she did. She ran track, and then she does dance. Like, my daughter can really dance. Like, she's like Chris Brown dancing. Like,
okay.
She's pretty dope. But that's what she loves to do. Like, her passion is dancing. So that's what I love, you know, her to get in dancing, theater. She loves to act.
Okay.
But she just started to pick up basketball this past year, and it's been like, I'm like, hell yeah now. Like, no more going to fucking ballet classes for me. I told her, you got to quit that shit. No more ballet and doing flips and shit.
She's like, already gymnastics. Got the fundamentals.
Yeah, no more of that. I told her, you got to give up one of them. You can keep dance, but you got to give up that shit and then play basketball. And we're good. Because I'm tired of falling asleep with them damn things. No, for real, bro. I be falling asleep at her practices and shit. I'm
just
like, I can't be there. I told her mother, like, you got to go to them shits. Like, I'm only going to the meets if we do. I'm not going to practices no more, bro. Yeah. It's just so boring. Like, for real.
Nate Robinson openly boos a small girl's gymnastics class.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just not a fan of it. I mean, I love the gymnastics. I can watch it on TV and stuff, but the practices are not fun.
Yeah, because
it's like, no, for real, they just do the most basic stuff, and it's like we have to wait until we get to the game time to get to flips and the cool stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? We have to wait. Like, practices are horrible, boring, and I'm just not with that. So I just told her, can we do something like that? daddy likes to watch. Like, she loves now basketball. I go to her practices. She asks me, Dad, can you come to my practice and help us? Like, yep.
Yeah, sure can.
If you're asking for help, hell yeah, I can. Every step of the way. So, you know, we go outside. We go to the court. She'd be wanting to work out and do drills and fun stuff.
Now, do you
I love that.
Do you find it hard to, like, go to, like, a youth basketball practice and not, like, step on the coach? Do you know the coach?
I know the coaches. Okay. I just let them do their thing. But, yeah. like, some of the stuff that I see, like, if they ask, yo, can you talk to McKitt? Yep. And I'll say what I say.
You don't just interject.
Nah, sometimes. Well, it depends on if I come early enough. Like, if I come okay. early to their practices and I'll work with my son, and then kids will come over and then I'll start working with them. And then when the coach come, I'm out. And I let them do their thing and I leave. I don't even watch practice. Yeah. I can't. Because I know I'll critique this shit too much. And like, yo, what are you teaching?
You can't dribble with both hands. What are you doing?
Teaching my son. Like, what are you teaching these kids?
Three. I know.
So I'll be like, I'll be out. I'll go outside and, you know, smart. And chill with the other kids. I have to get away from it because I'll be at practice screaming like, well, what the fuck's going on in here? Like,
I literally.
You don't do no shell defense? You don't work on defense first? No. We don't go over plays like numerous. Like, I remember my practices being so boring.
Just over and over.
All they do is just full court. Like, you don't.
That's not practice.
Yeah, that's not practice. So I tell them, you know, whatever y'all do. I ask my daughter, what'd you do at practice today? I ask her, oh, we worked on, you know, just to see if she's paying attention.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So and then I just work on the basic stuff with my kids, just left hand, right hand, shooting both hands and a couple drills, but we just play. Yeah. I want them to play. I want you to learn how to play in real action. So me and my kids play a lot of one on one. I play them two on one just to see, you know, if they can learn how to play defense and playing together, learn how to work together.
Are you dreading the day they finally beat you?
Nah, I hope that day comes soon. That means they're ready.
Yeah.
But, you know, my older son gives me a little comment. He's kind of fast. And he just, you know, he wants to beat me so bad to the point where that's the only thing he's focused on and not actually focused on this game. So
yeah.
That's where I beat him at. I'm like, bro, I only beat you because you want to beat me so bad. Like, that's the thing. That's the only thing that you're focused on. You're
right.
not focused on working yeah. on your moves.
Once he gets over that, you're
yeah,
done.
Once he understands that part, like, that's so easy.
It's like fighting mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just calm yourself and just hoop. You know, just don't worry about winning. Just play. Worry about working on your game, and then you'll start to get better. But he's pretty good.
Yeah,
I take him to go hoop at LA Fitness. We go hoop, and he does a great job playing against, you know, grown men. And it's just fun to see. I'm like, bro, why can't you play like this with your friends? Like, it's like he changes when he plays with his homies, like on his AU team. Like, totally different game.
Like,
I'm like, yeah, like, bro, come on, break out of the shell already. I told him, I said, man, don't pass to nobody today. See what it feels like to shoot the ball every time, like Westbrook. Like, don't pass. Just shoot the ball every single time.
It'll come.
Know what that feels like. Know that when you're like, oh, yeah, I am shooting too much. Know what that feels like, because then you know how to gauge it. Mm-hmm. Because then when you go in, because I told my son, you play the right way to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I hate it. Like, you pass the ball a little too much. Some guys
it's like Jokic sometimes.
Yeah, like, come on, man, just attack. And when you attack and be aggressive, like, it's easier. Like, I have to show him Iverson. I'm like, bro, look at this guy, just watch him. Like, he'd be watching, not to take away from guys' game, but he watches the Kawhis, he loves Westbrook, he loves Kyrie, he loves he watches the right guys. But I'd be like, bro, watch a guy, like, watch Jordan. You know, Jordan only passed when he had to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, watch Iverson, he only passed when he had to. He still averaged 8 assists, 7 assists. Like, they still average a lot of assists. It just gotta be, you gotta know when to get a bucket and how to get a bucket.
Right.
So I'm trying to teach him that. My younger son, he knows how. I got to tell him, pass the ball, bro. You shoot the ball a little too goddamn much. Like, every time he comes down court, he's like, Melo, one dribble. He's like, LaMelo, one dribble, two dribble, pass, half court. It's going up. It's a bucket, too. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'll be having to tell him, now I got to teach you how to play the right way.
Listen, you get one more son, he's going to have the perfect balance of both.
Yeah, I have a little 3-year-old.
Oh, there we go.
So, yeah, my little 3-year-old, hopefully he has the balance of both. You know what I'm saying? But my daughter, I think that's my daughter. She does both. She does a good job of passing and scoring, trying to score. I told her, I don't care how many shots you miss. Just practice, because there's going to be a one time where you're not going to be missing them like that. So shoot them now. Learn how to shoot and learn how to be aggressive. She's already using her left hand, 9 years old. Like, she's nasty.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she's a beast.
You brought him up. I wasn't even thinking about him, but you brought him up. As someone who played in Boston, what the fuck happened with Kyrie?
Out there?
Yeah, just why didn't it click? Like, obviously you played under a different regime and whatnot.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe maybe him seeing how hard it was, how LeBron, like, being the leader and being the guy that, you know, you had to get it done. It was just a little too much. And then, I don't know, man, it was just like that whole team just started to, they just started, like, like Scary Terry thought, you know, he can handle everything, kind of like Kyrie, and wanted a chance, and mm-hmm. rightfully so. You deserve that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not even to take nothing from him. Like, who to say that he can't?
Right.
And he held it down with Kyrie being out.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just a lot, man. You know, everybody, you know, they want their turn. And
for sure.
And then, like, him knowing, like, you know, maybe it's time for me to get out of here and just let somebody, like, all right, let y'all have y'all squad and good luck. And I'm going to go home and play in front of my home crowd.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shit, Jersey, yeah, right there. No, it's right there being in New York City, shit. Oh, I know. But, yeah, maybe that's what it was. I don't know. I mean, I'll have to ask Kyrie and ask him that.
Well, it was just even, like, your Celtics team was similar talent, but chemistry was off the charts.
Yeah, our team was lit, man. We had a good little squad, but we had a good balance of Hall of Famers, man.
Right.
You had Shaq, you had KG, you had Paul, you had Ray, you had Doe, you had TA. You had a nice core bench with Big Baby and Kendrick Perkins. Like, you had a solid squad,
right?
You know what I'm saying? All the way down to Marquise Daniels to Rasheed Wallace. We had a squad, man, and everybody knew their role, man, and nobody was bigger than the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody contributed and brought what they brought and did exactly what they were supposed to do, you know, and whatever their part of their game was, they brought that to the team, and that was a team. Do what you do best.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll never forget KG was like, man, we brought you here to be Nate Robinson. Fuck what coach talked about. You know what I'm saying? Like, be you. When you're out there with us, fuck that. Be you.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, shit. It made it easier for me to go out there and play with my teammates because they believed in me. You know what I'm saying? Like, even when I only play like 4 to 5 minutes,
right.
be Nate Robinson for 5 minutes. Like, don't be nobody else.
Was that tough in season, though, not knowing how many minutes you got or because the guys were in
your
ear?
But I mean, when your name is called, you know what you're supposed to do. Defensively, you know you have your assignments. You know what you're supposed to do, and then offensively, you just be you, and just take the shots when you need to. You know, so I was just like, all right, cool. Made it simple. Simple. I played pick up full court, played defense hard. I know guys are gonna talk behind me. I was good. I knew what I was supposed to do.
You
then offensively, yeah, offensively, they was like, go get buckets. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, yeah, that's what I do.
No problem.
Go and get buckets. And then playing off, like, feeding off Big Baby and how we played as a team together, it was easy. Super easy.
Missed that.
Yeah.
Hope that's the problem with you super teams. All those Hall of Famers. That team was stacked.
We should have won. We should have won it that year when we went Game 7 with the Lakers. Doc didn't want to play me and Baby. That messed up the whole energy that day, and I just knew he was gonna lose after he told us that before the game. I knew.
Told you before the game.
He was like, "Yo, we ain't gonna play you and Baby today, man.
We gonna go with
the guys that got us here." And I'm like, and I asked him, I said, "Shit, we ain't one of those guys. Like, what the
you
fuck?
No big moments in the playoffs. None.
Like,
zero.
What the fuck? I couldn't believe he said that to me. I was like, man, Baby. I'll never forget that shit. Big Baby punched the door, and it was like a hole in the door. He punched the door, put a hole in the door. He was hot.
This past year, I just like started liking Doc Rivers again. Ever since, like, I've never seen a coach demand a trade from a team to go elsewhere, which is what he did with Boston. He's like, I want to rebuild again. I'm going to go to the Clippers. It's working out now. I just got over that, and then I hear a story like this. I'm like, this guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, he kind of made me mad. That was like a bonehead decision on him.
How do you decide that before the? You don't know how.
You have no idea what's going to happen.
Like, exactly. How do you already predetermine guys are not playing? Like, that's
everybody's
weird.
I'm still not putting you guys in. I've already decided. Yeah. No, we'll just forfeit.
Yeah, that's corny. So that was weird for me. And I was like, bro, he don't want to win. I knew from going in. I was like, man, the confetti ain't going to be for us. But then the next year, we could have went back, and then he traded everybody. We had the best record in the East. We went on like a 15-game winning streak in a row. Yep, traded Perk because they wanted to pay Perk. They didn't want to pay him, but they did. So they sent him, and then they got him paid.
Right.
So like one of them deals. Like, and then they was like, oh, yeah, well, we need trade assets. Put Nate Robinson in that deal. I was like, damn, I didn't even ask to be here. I didn't even ask to be in Boston the first time, and then y'all traded me here. I didn't even ask to leave. It's crazy. It was just dumb crazy, man.
Goddamn. Big three. How's that going?
Cool, man. It's lit. Yeah, I have a great time. Big three is fun. It's just that now I got to try to alter my game and learning, like, really get stronger because, like, all guys do is post me up. So it's a real workout for me. Like, every week, it's a great workout because, you know, guys are strong and they're just, you know,
They got that old man strength. Man, like everybody,
the whole league, yeah.
It's crazy. So now we just, you know, now I'm just preparing myself a little differently now. My workout's a little different, and I've just got to lift a little bit more, get a little stronger. And just keep chipping away at it. Hopefully we can steal a couple wins coming up, you know, on our team with Stat and Jason Richardson. I think we have a nice little chance with the guys that we have. And we're about to pick up a shooter. We need a shooter to help out with the squad we have. And I think we'll be straight.
You and Jay Rich, like, still having dunk contests between one another?
Nah, man, we're old, man. We don't do no more dunking. We talk about
it. He just dunked on someone, like, 2 weeks ago.
He dunked on Clay's brother. He dunked on Clay's brother. Yeah, he did. We just reminisce, man, just talking about the stuff we used to do, the energy we used to have to be able to get up there and dunk. Because people don't understand how much energy that is. It's a lot of energy to go up there and do some of those crazy things. And now it's like kids are doing them eighth grade.
I know.
It's so ridiculous. Like watching some of the kids. I'm like, bro, he's eighth grade doing between the legs, doing a front flip in the air, midair, do a backflip and dunk it. Like, what? How old are you? I'm 16. What grade you in? Eighth grade. How are you 16 in eighth grade? Like, what the fuck?
What went wrong here?
Like, what? You reclassified three times? Oh, I'm homeschooled. Oh, that makes sense. You homeschooled. Then you get to pick your grade. Yeah. Oh, I say, okay, cool. Now I know what to do with my son. Hold my son back. He'll be 18 years old, freshman.
Just dominating.
Bring him up to the grade. Bam, he's in the NBA.
Bro, it's crazy. That's all kids are doing.
Bam, you're Nerlens Noel.
So crazy. It's so crazy.
This is a safe space. You can be honest here. Who was the better dunker between you and Jason Richardson? Prime for prime.
Prime for prime? I mean, for me, it was just – see, this is what I would love to have. I would love to be 6'6", just to show people what I can do with the same hops that I had. Mm-hmm. I would probably never lose a dunk contest to anybody.
You didn't really lose them?
Being 5'9", a little different. Being a smaller guy, having to do what these guys do is way harder. My hands are small. I can't palm a ball, so – It changes. I just tried to do every dunk that everybody else did. If I can do that, I should be a better dunker than you because I'm small. I'm shorter than you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, right. I mean, but Jason Richardson, I definitely would probably pick him over me just because he's taller and he can do cooler dunks. But if I was 6'6", like Vince Carter, I would be Vince Carter in the dunk contest if I had my hops at his height.
What was like the most creative dunk you thought of but just could never pull off?
I had this backflip dunk that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I put the ball between my legs, do a backflip, throw myself a lob, but I can never get the ball to bounce the
high enough.
No, not just the right way. Sometimes it depends on where you let the ball go.
Yeah.
And it never can just – it was like one of the coolest dunks I wanted to do, and I never got a chance to do it.
Not even in like practice you didn't land?
I did it in practice a couple times. You know what I'm saying? I'm kid, and like before the dunk contest, and I remember Jared Jeffrey was like, bro, this is like the coolest dunk I ever seen. Nobody's ever tried this. I was like, I know, but I can never get it every time. And I didn't want to keep doing that same dunk.
Back,
doing backflip. Yeah, like that would have been like too much.
Yeah, I remember like –
that would have been too much.
Birdman.
15 times. Like, I did it like that too.
Like a jumbo
like usually, like when I did the between the legs and I missed that many times, I was so mad because I can do that. Like, I can walk from the free throw line and do it like it was nothing. And then that day, it was just like so many people watching TV. I was like nervous a little bit. And I was like, man. And I finally got at the towards the end. But yeah, man, one of my favorite dunks of all time is off the glass between the legs. I made that like 2 or 3 times. Even in practice, I showed my teammates I could do it. They were like, bro, what?
Yeah.
Like, at 5'9", throw off the glass between the legs. Like, Vince, I think Jason Richardson did it before. I think Blake Griffin did it in the dunk contest before.
I think Levine might have did it.
And I don't know, maybe somebody else.
Or no, Levine did it from the free throw line. That's what it was.
Nasty.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. But yeah, so hopefully my son's 14 dunking right now, trying to dunk. And he's trying to learn how to do his little. I told him, I said, bro, you got to practice on the little hoops. That's what I did.
Yeah.
I said, I practice on – if I, you can do it on a little hoop, you can do it on a big hoop.
Yeah.
So I told him to keep practicing. But he'd be lowering at the hoop at the house, and he'd just be dunking. So I told him, I said, when you start dunking, and you get that first taste of that dunk blood, you're going to be one – you're going to be like a vampire out there trying to dunk everything.
All right, we're getting the wrap it up signal, Tyler.
Last question. What's the best dunk you've ever seen somebody else do?
Man, let me see. That one dude did the double between the legs.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. That to me, one of the dopest dunks. I think this, a kid named, is it Niven Glover? He's going to University of Georgia with Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
You got to watch him. He got one of the coolest dunks. He goes, you know how you go between the legs all the way through? He goes between the legs, fakes it, and comes back to the same side and dunks it. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's
pretty nasty.
Pretty good.
Man, that's pretty cool.
And he's a freshman? Christ.
He about to be a freshman. He went one and done for sure. He lottery pick for sure next year.
There like, was
if he don't go lottery and he can play too, he can hoop a little bit. And he's a skater. Yeah.
There was someone at the, you know, the Quay 54 out in Paris?
Yeah.
There was someone who did one, like, they banked it, so it got caught in the net a little, and then they, like, brought it through their legs, and it was absurd. So
he shot it off the backboard, got caught it between
from, after like, the three-point line. It did go in. Wow. And then he caught it on the way through and went through the legs.
Crazy. But
Nate Robinson, big three. You can catch him there. If you meet him, always say his full legal government name.
Don't.
Love that.
Don't Nate Robinson me, please.
Just stand nice. Behind him when he's eating dinner. All that stuff he loves. Nate, we'd love to see you. We're glad you survived this time.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. No more. I got my water here. I'm good.
We appreciate it, pal.
Thank you.
For the year 2G, the rap game changed with one name. Jules Zane has slain anything on this plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated.
How goes it, pal?
What's the word?
It's Mondays, am I right?
Yeah, you're right, Garfield.
Mm-hmm. You know, Garfield hated Mondays because that meant John Arbuckle was headed back to work and he'd be alone.
Hmm. I am Garfield.
It's true. A guy who feeds you your lasagna leaves every Monday.
Yes, and I lay on a fence post and cry for his return.
As it's supposed to be.
It's an American love story.
Did you have a swell weekend, pal?
I can't complain. What about you?
Good, I got to take in some big three, as the kids are calling it.
So I saw. How was it? How was Capo, more importantly?
I only saw him play We Fly High, parentheses ballin', mm-hmm. and he didn't even make it through the entirety of the song. It just, like, the song was still playing. It wasn't like, oh, only performed like a verse or two. No, no. He performed, I would say, 80% of the song, and then just sat next to Ice Cube and Jadakiss while the rest of the song just kind of trailed off once they realized he was done performing.
Okay, that feels fair.
Yeah, I wasn't complaining.
Yeah, 80%, that's more than fair.
LL Cool J came into a raucous applause.
Of course he did.
I'm trying to think. It looked like one of the Plumlee brothers was there. I don't know why.
Like playing?
No, just in attendance, which was even more confusing. I get the Big Three is a great product, but none of them currently play in New York. That's why I was like, of all the stops to hit this one.
Maybe they're doing some scouting, man. You never know.
Perhaps. I know I was scouting Al Jefferson's giant rump.
Yeah.
Him and Amari Stoudemire were having a battle for supremacy.
So is Amari ready for the NBA like tomorrow, or like he needs a couple weeks?
I think Al Jefferson looks ready.
It's not the question, but okay.
Yeah, no, I was saying, like, Al Jefferson was kind of getting the better of him.
So Amari, in on Jeff.
Yeah, way in on bringing back big. Like, if he wants to just come play for the Celtics, like, I'm perfectly okay with that.
You know how you guys feel about marijuana.
Trying to think. Joe Johnson hit a step back game winning four pointer, which was just tremendous.
I like that those words can be said.
Correct. Especially since, like, it's not timed. It's just like first one to 50 wins. Joe Johnson looks up, sees 46. He's like, yeah, I've had enough of today.
He's like 8, 9. And no, that'll do it. Swish.
I thought Josh Smith and Reggie Evans were going to throw just hammer fists at one another.
They still might.
Mm-hmm. Definitely still on the table. Charles Oakley got the loudest applause, as well he should.
Oh, yeah, that's his city.
It sure is. I was trying to explain that he never played for the Nets, but
since he doesn't get along with the Knicks anymore, he just came to the Nets and they were like, sure.
Yeah, as they should.
Yeah.
And wow, one of these franchises just secured multiple All-NBA talents. Wow.
Julius Randle and Marcus Morris are good. I don't call them All-NBA.
No, no, no. I said All-NBA, not All-Universe.
Hmm, fair. Fair. This program, speaking of the big three, we have Nathaniel Cornelius Robinson.
As he prefers.
Mm-hmm. If you ever see him, make sure you say it properly or he will strangle you to death. That's the law.
Yeah.
And Ice Cube, or as we should call him, Ice P-U-B.
Oh, boy. Talk about a childhood hero down the drain. Canceled.
Listen, Cube had a very strong interview. I thought it was actually probably one of the just better flowing, like, semi-serious interviews we've ever done, just because it's fascinating. Like, it's a young league. It's doing well. They just handed out some disciplinary results. Not the word I'm looking for, but you know what I'm saying. Handed out some good old-fashioned discipline. Yeah, oh, yeah, like you read about. And, I mean, we were asking about it. It was, like, a really strong interview that Tyler asked him about his infamous triple-double. And it may be the single most damning interview Ice Cube's ever done. His publicist begging us to not air it because of the repercussions that will come from this. But listen, we gotta put it out. We have to.
It's called integrity.
Yeah, we're journalists here, and if we can be bought, then how can you, the listener, ever trust what we have to say ever again?
Correct. And trust, I can be bought, but their number wasn't nearly high enough.
No. No, it was an insult. So insulting an offer that we said we're playing it twice, to start the episode and also to end it.
I couldn't believe he said it. I couldn't believe I heard my ears correctly.
It was. And Tyler has the benefit of being remote. I just had to sit there and some are calling me brave. Hero of the words I'm not saying. Other people are saying them. I just did what had to be done. And did it make things awkward? Sure did. Did Tyler chiming in almost get me killed? Sure did. But we persevered.
It's called integrity.
Ice Cube almost jumped through Skype to fight Tyler. He was like, how do I get into that camera over there?
Yeah, listen, I would have let him choke me out like Homer and Bart, man. Like both sides would have been right. My reaction was correct, and then his response would have also been correct.
Well, two rights never make a wrong.
Well, duh, that's Proverbs.
I don't think anything else happened.
J.R. Smith's getting waived.
Yeah, he is.
That feels like Lakers.
It has, like, what else could have been? No one.
Lakers or Rockets are really the only two I could see.
I know the Rockets have designs on it. Everyone seems to want Iguodala, including the Grizzlies.
The Suns are like, why don't you just give them away? If everybody wants them, you have to be nice and give them. I do love that. Yeah, when it's a buyout, like the Grizzlies are holding on to Iguodala, and it's like, yeah, good for them. They're not giving up on an asset. Paul George asked, yeah, hey, what can you do, man? Presti was, his hands were tied. He was hung over some train tracks.
Yeah, no, Iguodala, Chris Paul might get, like, bought out. There's all the sides of this coin that no one can seem to figure out, the middle ground.
I gotta say, this fascination on, like, the fascination on numbers, like, no matter what deal happens, it's like, oh, boy, that deal's going to look really bad in 2023, 2024. Yeah, no shit. Players get older. Like, I don't know why this is the only thing pointed out anymore. It's like, oh, boy, they just handed Zion that contract. You know, 2024 will be time for an extension. Yeah, he'll be 24. Like, why are we even talking about this? This bothers me much more than any, like, analytic number focus. like three-pointers or four-point plays. Or, like, this is killing me. It's like, listen, man, Kawhi is going to turn 32 one day. Yeah, no shit, hopefully. Like,
it's the, yeah, no, the other option there is way worse. It's the natural progression to what we saw in, like, December. You could honestly go back to, like, last summer with Anthony Davis. And all throughout the year with Kevin Durant and Kyrie, it's like, well, yeah, sure, this season's still going on right now. However, one day it won't be, and you'll be a free agent. You'll also be a free agent.
Right.
What's going to happen then? They were like, well, what the fuck? It's Tuesday. Like, well, it's 6 months away from that. What are you talking about? Now it's
Kevin Durant shirking a free agency question.
Now it's, all right, well, Kawhi and Paul George just signed with the Clippers. The old natural reaction would be like, hey, that's really cool for the Clippers. Now it's, oh, Kawhi only signed a 2+1. This is only a 2-year window. Like, yeah, let's talk about game one happened first.
Right. Well, it's like we came straight from, oh boy, why are we even having this season? The season's over. Okay, why are we even playing the next six, man? Let's see what those Thunder picks are talking about. Let's see when Paul George gets old. What do you think about that? Huh? Paul George at 31, fuck you. We fast forward, he's 36. That deal's terrible. The Thunder get the 10th pick in the draft. Sam Presti wins the longest con.
No one cares about today anymore at all.
For a league, like, we can admit it. Like, if they were talking like this while the Warriors were winning, it would make more sense. It was like, oh boy, we got nothing to look forward to. Durant just signed another 4-year deal. Like, oh boy, yeah, let's look at 2023. It's like, oh wow, the league is more wide open than ever. Wait, what? Anthony Davis is going to turn 30 one day? No, no. Oh, what a fleecing by David Griffin.
Yeah, it's what people, this is why I always said no one actually wanted parity. Because they don't. We have it right now. This is the most parity in the history of the NBA. And everyone's like, no thanks.
Well, they're not even saying no thanks. Like, no thanks would be acknowledging it. We're not looking at 2019, 20, or 21. It's like, boy, the CBA is next. After that, high schoolers are next. After that, the Thunder get 17 picks in 3 drafts. It's like, what about I don't know, Kawhi switching teams. All of the NBA players switching teams.
All of them.
We have like the most hyped rookie since. Just hype alone. Like, is it LeBron? Because like AD, Durant were up there, but they weren't hyped like to this level.
The only other one I can think of, like Odin, there have been guys who are hyped, but since they just stunk or weren't the complete hype. Like Mayo was as big a hype as Zion, I would say, like in high school.
He was, I was gonna say, yeah.
I might argue.
Only from high school, I would say Mayo was bigger.
I was gonna say, I would say bigger just because it was harder to get that information and everyone still knew who he was.
Yeah, and I don't know, Zion's. Like that's a hell of a, because he was like a comfortably a 5-star. He was gonna be one and done.
Yep.
But nobody was like, oh boy, now this might be a franchise guy on both ends of the court who's also a freak athlete. Wow. And it was 12 months, but it's like, oh boy, no, these next 36 don't, no. We can punt these down the drain. Nothing, like, Zion's, what if Zion already just keeps getting better? Yeah.
He's already too fat to play in the league. Like, we haven't even.
No, he's a P, a Barrett to bust. Guy had 2 bad summer league games. Culver hasn't made a shot. Hadn't played a game, but he has made a shot.
Yeah, no, we've broken how people, not us specifically, just the times have broken how people talk about basketball. They just don't know how to do it anymore.
Yeah, I don't like it. Like, even the Kawhi thing, I feel like it's probably to do the opt out and get the 10-year thing.
Correct.
But even if it's not, like, who cares? Like, what do you? He could sign, if he signed a 4-year deal right now, would anybody be like, "Yep, no, he'll absolutely play"? Like, you can't say. Who knows?
Right.
He might be like, hey, Paul, let's run this back. Let's both go to L.A. Let's trade him for that old man and run it back with A.D. The Lakers are like, okay.
Out you go.
Yeah, beat it, King. But, man, oh, man, it's like the Knicks. I think, like, we're about to get hammered heavy on, I think, Giannis's free agency.
Oh, definitely, without like, a question.
Like, but, like, I think that's the next. Like, it was... It seemed like it was down the line, and because this free agency was just a clusterfuck, it's like, oh, boy. Again, we fast-forwarded past everything. I thought we might get, I don't know, the Bucks get down in a series next summer first, but no.
No, the second the Raptors eliminated them.
It was Malik Andrews just dropped down from the rafters, and so he was like, yeah, no, he's definitely out.
It couldn't have happened faster.
He sent out the signal like that Houston is still a base. And I don't think Giannis can even leave for 2 years. That's what makes it so bad.
Like it if he is could leave years. This, it's two full years.
Yeah, like if he could leave this summer, then yeah, that's a story it should be, because that means he's extension eligible. But he can't even think about leave. But I guess that's the point now, because it's like, oh boy, if he's not leaving, where is he going to request to go? Who are his friends?
It feels. Like, he's in the same spot AD was last summer. The only difference is he's in the East and on a very competent team. So it'll be interesting to see how people handle it, because there was, like, if the Bucks were a last place team or not even a playoff team, last place is too dramatic, but a playoff team, I think it would be right now the number one thing people are talking about. Instead, today, the biggest story I read was Giannis's and he's only at 60% of the player he can become, which is a horrifying and probably accurate assessment of exactly.
That's what I say. Like I was like that. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
If you look at what's Giannis 25, 24.
He's 24, going on 25.
Yeah, it's like look at any of these guys at like the all time. I would say any MVP guy, what they were at 25 and at 28 and at 31.
Derrick Rose.
Listen, that guy's Detroit's savior at 31.
Yikes.
He really might put together the back end half of a Hall of Fame career, which is wild. But yeah, it's like if you looked at LeBron at 24 and was like, no, I'm only 60% of the way here, but like, that's impossible. And then you look at him in Miami, then him back in Cleveland, it's like, oh yeah, he probably was only 60%. Yeah.
Yeah, he turns 25 in December, so we're not even particularly close.
Yeah, but he's 6 months away from 25, 2 years away from free agency, and that's going to be the man. Bucks lost two in a row. That's what they're going to lose three in a row. It's like they didn't do that last time they did that was the Raptors. Is he gonna leave? He's like, I don't know. It's January. I couldn't if I wanted to.
Giannis right now feels like he's on a very Dirk type trajectory, and I know that's tough to say for someone in modern times because you just don't know, but I mean, he's been very competitive the past few years. He's got to the Eastern Conference Finals, lost. I wouldn't be surprised if in 2 years he just re-signed and we start talking about him as a choker who can't get it done as opposed to like the best player in the league.
Well, it's either going to be – well, the thing that he can – which he might do, the second he's eligible, he might just sign it. Because I do – yeah. Like, I do feel like he has every intention of remaining a Buck. Like, again, I feel that way agreed. About – like, it's looking that way about Dame. I feel that way about Jokic. And, like, probably Luka. Like, they're just going to, for the most part, stay there. I mean, unless they get some cool friends and go elsewhere, then what can you do? But he might he might just sign it immediately. And the next person to get the heat, it's either going to be he or Embiid. And my guess would be Embiid, because Giannis at least has the MVP and a conference finals. And it's going to be like, oh, boy, Mr. Tweet. Like, Embiid could show up in the best shape of his life. And they lose, like, two games. He gets tired after playing 41 minutes. Oh, too many milkshakes, big guy. This guy's 25. He doesn't have his act together yet. Yeah, he's 25, man. It means nothing.
None of it does. But for some things mean the world to everyone.
Yeah.
And that's what we've pitched to people with Rough and Rowdy.
Yes.
Rough and Rowdy 9 is going to Fort Bragg, North Carolina for a red, white, and bruised beatdown.
Blue. Red, white, and blue. No, bruised like a fight.
Rough and Rowdy is the best event we do. That's an actual fact.
Yeah.
Rough and Rowdy is amateur fighters with no defense throwing haymakers combined with the funniest, most action-packed 4 hours you'll ever have. We guarantee at some point you'll have tears in your eyes laughing because you've never seen anything like it. Another fact.
Yeah. It's like if you're watching any sort of high-stakes bout, but if there were no rules. Like, there are rules, but there are no rules. It's like if Floyd Mayweather just went to, like, drop kick somebody. And the ref is just like, yeah, no, that was clean.
You basically get laugh out loud nonstop commentary from Big Cat and Large, plus insane, unpredictable action in the ring. Yeah, Large getting added to this one with Robbie Fox, with Ronan Caleb. Like, just to say those two, like, All Business Pete will do something that'll inevitably draw chirps. It's the gang's all there. One of the camera guys will be out of position or in a weird position. Like, something else will happen on top of just, like, commentary from two greats.
No, Large on the call is going to be tremendous. He's just going to add a class to the event that only Large can bring.
And probably get us all sued in the process. Go to buy
that R&R. Only Large can bring.
Buy R&R.com to learn how you can watch the fight for free.
What?
There's been a statistical anomaly that's been brought to my attention.
I think I know what you're about to say, and it is incredible.
I know we've talked about it multiple times. It's just something people know about the NBA. LeBron James, for his entire life, has been a walking, talking 27-7-7. As long as I can remember looking at his basketball reference page, that's what his stat line has been. It does not change.
Yeah. He's reaching a point where it's like like, those are going to be his career average. I just don't think he's going to hang on too long. Like, you're not going to see those dip into the 24-5-5 because he ran it out like Vince Carter.
He's only played 1,437 games, which feels low. It's a shit ton of games, but it feels low for him, who's been playing for 30, 40 years now.
Well, his is minutes. He's just played so many fucking minutes.
True. Yeah. He's played 1,437 games and 47 minutes in each.
That's what I'm saying. And another 1,200 playoff season minutes every single season.
He has never once had a game. Not one. That he finished with 27-7-7.
That's incredible.
I don't know how it's possible. Like, and I went to his, like, game reference or his game finder page.
For all 15 years.
He doesn't even necessarily have one that's, like, particularly close to 27-7-7.
It makes sense. Because, like, that's the beauty of his game. He's like, well, yeah, if I get that close, why not have 14 assists instead of 7? I had six boards, though. Whoops.
He had one. I searched every game that he had at least 27-7-7. And he had one 27-7-8 game. Wow. And that's the closest. All the others were like 27-8-8, 29-7-9, like 27-7-15. Like, none even remotely, like, one off. There was only one that was one off. All the rest were at least two or more off. It was absurd.
And honestly, that's why I want to hear about no more averages. Because these averages, they can be fudged, folks. I said they can be fudged.
Did you see the last time he put up exactly 27-7-7?
Oh, it was the McDonald's game, right? Or the Jordan game, one of those.
McDonald's one. Which was probably the last game he had ever played in.
The last free game he ever played.
LeBron made like 250 off that game, easy.
No, he made 250 before that game. That game itself, that Hummer didn't give him nothing for that game. Everything. All those. That Joey Namath was already on his back.
What if he went into the McDonald's All-American game like, whatever I finish with today is what I'm going to average. And he had a chance to get like 32, but he was like, all right, I don't want to make this too difficult on myself.
Like, nah, that's, no one could average a triple-double. It just can't be done. Not even for a season since the old man. LeBron's already, and after a year off, he's still comfortably number one all-time in playoff minutes played.
Yeah, it's, I assume that's going to go up.
He's played a total 56,000 minutes. Kareem's number one with, like, about 65 total. He played 20 years. Golly.
I bet Jalen's outpacing him.
Rose, probably.
No, Jalen's made 2 Eastern Conference Finals runs and second round this year.
Congrats.
LeBron had maybe a playoff series by now.
Yeah, but again, these minutes played, he wasn't playing 40 minutes.
This year he was. Last year he had.
LeBron
only
played 40 minutes. It's not even
close. No, I know that. But that's why I'm saying the pace. Like, he's 3 years in. LeBron's pace at this point stunk.
Okay.
All I'm saying is everyone else from that draft class is getting paid. I don't know why Jalen hasn't been yet.
Gotta wonder if they, what are they waiting for? Wonder what they trade him for.
I'll be furious.
Ain't trying to, okay, I'm ready to flip him and Romeo Langford for Kawhi Leonard. Hello. Jerry, hello.
Clipper's like, finally.
He's like, yes, do it now. Throw in Jerome Robinson.
And just like, I didn't say anything about Jerome Robinson.
Yuck. Man, oh man, y'all fleeced the Nets and they still in better shape than y'all right now. Y'all did nothing with the bag.
We'll see.
We've seen.
When Jalen fixes the schooling system, then who really won?
Can he hit 72% of his free throws?
He's always focused on the smaller picture, Withers.
Correct. Listen, you big picture. That's what you get focused on, the big picture. You're worrying about those 2027 picks. Sam Presti's got a haul. A 58-year-old Sam Presti will be stacked.
I feel like something happened in another sport that was interesting, but God forbid I remember it.
I saw Zeke Elliott might hold out, and I was like, oh, boy.
He read what Melvin Gordon was doing. He was like, not a terrible idea.
I might want to reconsider, guys. Has Ben Simmons officially got paid?
Yeah, I saw Shams tweeted earlier. He signed.
Wow, I said he signed his second contract before he hit his second NBA three-pointer.
Worst first. Oof. I saw Towns versus Simmons. Not even debate, just a poll. Towns was winning wholeheartedly, which I was worried going into it. Could have won either way.
What's it been? Number one overall picks from 2013-18 was Bennett, Wiggins, Towns, Simmons, Fultz. That starting five gets you to the playoffs in the East. No, it does not, David Garden.
Yikes.
That's 39-43.
Towns and Simmons alone don't get you in the playoffs?
No, because you have Wiggins, Fultz, and Bennett.
Well, two of them don't even play.
Correct. You're playing 5-on-2, man.
Have you seen the Wiggins stack going around?
Oh, yeah. So I'm telling you, Andrew Wiggins is going to... I can't wait till he makes the Hall of Fame. Because these are the exact type of numbers he's going to run up.
Where is it? Yeah. Since entering the league in 2014, only 11 players have scored more points than Andrew Wiggins. There it is.
Who are they? LeBron and who? That's it.
Only LeBron. Damn, surprise. I'm trying to find where I saw the list, but now it doesn't want to be there. God damn it.
I don't even know what they do with him, man.
Just let him keep scoring these points. What do you mean?
I still think they could. I don't think he's a Timberwolf 12 months from now. I still think they flip him.
For Chris Paul.
A win. A resounding win. That's the exact type of place Chris Paul needs to go to.
I would love for Andrew Wiggins just to be good all of a sudden. I don't know. It's not going to happen, obviously, but it would be great.
Again, it's one of those he's 24, but that's the thing, because he's been so durable. We've seen a lot of him at 24. It ain't good.
No, I mean, but again, the buckets, Tyler.
I don't think he can dribble. I think that's his fate. I think if he learns to dribble, I think it changes it. I just don't know if he's going to learn to dribble.
I mean, Avery Bradley can't dribble. It's gotten him this far.
Avery Bradley used to be good at a thing. We'll see if he's still good at it. Wiggins,
I feel like Avery, second half of last year, was fine. It was really just Detroit.
Nah, he sucked in L.A. too.
Oh, for the Clippers, you're right. Yeah. For Memphis, he was all right.
Yeah, Memphis, he was fine, but I think it was Jalen Rose or somebody said, he's like, when you see people, like, just pull up and take a lot of mid-range jumpers, that's not where they trust their shot. It's where they trust their dribble. It's like they don't feel comfortable dribbling any further than that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I was like, huh. And since I heard that, I was like, it makes sense for, like, Wiggins. I thought about it with Tatum. Like, basically anybody. If they're consistently doing it, like, if they're just stopping, it's like, I wonder if they don't trust their handle. And it's like
Tatum, I think he doesn't trust his strength.
I mean, it could be, like, all the above. But I think once, or if you get the handle for, because the strength, that'll come. That's just him being 21 or however old he is. Strength will come.
19.
Yeah, same. But, yeah, I think it's just that. Because Wiggins is, like, Wiggins had a year where he got to the line 7 times a game. That's what I was still in on. Like, and then the next year he got to the line 6.5. So it's like, okay, at the very least, he can't shoot, but he can get to the line. He can be DeRozan. A much worse everything DeRozan. And then, I don't know. I just think he took more shots. I do think if they use less of him, which maybe they will because they have more options, you get more out of him. But, yeah, I think it's the handle. Because you see him, like, his first step, I feel like when you watch him, it's like, oh, boy, if he gets to the rim, he's just going to dunk on everybody.
Right.
But it's like he stops as soon as he's like, oh, this is my stop right here. I'm going to pull up for a nice 15-footer off of a back iron.
He usually stops and then turns his back, too, which is definitely like, I want as much space between you and the ball as possible because I don't trust what I'm going to do with it.
And it's, like something, I don't know, like Towns is getting a lot of the credit for, like, or not credit, like Butler broke them. It's like he can't shoot free throws. His first 3 years, he was a 76% free throw shooter every year. He averaged 17, 21, and 24. And again, like, he wasn't taking great shots. They were a terrible team. Like, those numbers mean nothing. But 76% and getting to the line 7 times in some of the ways he was doing it. Now he doesn't get to the line. He can't shoot when he gets there. I don't know if there was, like, a Butler thing, but I don't know if it might have just been a got paid thing. But, man.
Definitely on the table.
Yeah, because I think that was, no, that, yeah, that's when he would have got it. Right before your 4th season. They might need to change that too.
Maybe, but it's just one of those things where, like, I can't fault the Timberwolves for giving that out, and I can't fault Andrew Wiggins for just mailing it in.
Nah, I can fault him for giving it out. That was a mistake.
It's not looking great.
It never looked great. Even like after all that, because up to those, like those first 3 years, I still, and again, I would have did the same with Booker. Only with, if you've made an All-NBA team, I would give it, like I'll offer it to you before. But if you haven't even made an All-Star team, like you're going to have to go find that, like after the season, we're going to have to work this out. I need to see that fourth year first.
So like, someone like Jalen, then, would you feel comfortable giving him an extension right now, or would you want to wait out this year?
I'd wait. I mean, unless there's, like, if he's coming to me with, like, a very reasonable number, but I doubt that's the case. That's not what he should do. He should be wanting the max, of course, as well. So I'm like, yeah, I'm fine to wait it out till next summer.
Yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable.
Well, if he came to you right now and said he would, like, I guess, like, their max is, yeah, he's same as Simmons, right? 5 for $170?
Something like that, yeah. I think he's with Jamal Murray.
So if he told you he'd do 5 for $120 right now, would you do it?
I mean, I'd give him 170, so yeah.
He'd give who 170?
Jalen.
How? You talking about the money he made?
No, he's eligible for the same extension as Murray, no?
No, he is, but I'm saying if he says right now, like before I even go into the season, I'll do 5, and we don't even negotiate.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I would give him 170. So, yeah, if he asked me for 120, I'd say, yeah, no question.
You give him 5 170?
I'd give him the max, yeah. I feel that's just like the going rate. I could see a world where he has the same impact on a game as Jamal Murray for that over the whole 5 years. Like, I have no problem with that.
Nah, I'm going to need to see you play it out, my guy, and then go get a... Because I don't even know what the max somebody else can offer you. It's like 4, 112 or something. I'd match it, but I can't give you 5 for $170.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't
somebody
know.
Else that probably shouldn't have got that money don't mean I can give you that money, especially when you can't shoot free throws or dribble.
Jalen dribbles better than Wiggins.
Congrats.
He does the same thing I said more players should do when they come to the league and can't really dribble. Like, just get like 3 or 4 go-to moves that you can use in a given moment. And it fucking makes a world of difference.
It does. And that's why it's like, I'm more than willing to watch you play out the last year. But yeah, for a 13-4-1, my guy, I can't give you the full 5-170. Now again, if next year, like if you kill it next year, by all means, I want to keep you, but before I have to, I can't give that to you. I don't see how that benefits. I don't see the upside for the team. At best case scenario, he lives up to it, which you've already given him.
Yeah.
So that's not how I feel about him. That's just cap-wise.
How you feel about the system?
Yeah, well, I'd want the cap hold next year. Again, if the Suns waited and gave Booker the same exact deal this summer instead of last summer, they wouldn't have had to give away T.J. Warren. It's just like one of those, like the cap hold makes that much difference if you're trying to like make any sort of moves. So if for only reason than that, I'd be like, I'd have to wait. And I might still give it to you, but let me make every single move I have, because once you lock that in, that's one of your cores. That's one of your, you know what I'm saying, your tenants. So let me lock everything else in, because it's a lot of scratch for 13-4-1, man.
No, for sure. But just also the way him and Wiggins isn't, have anything to draw off of. But what he's done in playoff games is why I wouldn't be as hung up on the 13-4-1.
Playoffs 14-6-1. Man, I don't know.
Better.
Sure, it is. There's no doubt about it. But it's just, I do think it's going to turn into a thing where, like, the maybe it's a dribbling thing, like the one assist. It's not so much like, because he's not a selfish player, but I do think it's going to turn into like his three's not reliable enough to be like only 3-and-D in the playoffs. So he'll get that shot. So if he can't like create when they close out, like do something else with it, I think that's the difference in his ceiling. That's what I need to wait to see.
Yeah, and he'll have a larger role now.
Yeah, like this. That's exactly why it's like, okay, like, this is your time to shot. You want 5 for $170? Like, go get it. I'd be glad to give it to you if I feel you earned it, but I can't give it to you yet.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't even engaged in talks, and I don't know even if it's just something they can, like, I don't know if there's deadlines on it, like, in season. Like, I don't know if they can negotiate in the middle of the season or if they have to wait till, like, next summer.
I think it's before the season, like, starts. That's why, like, a lot of deals are done, like, in the summer. But it's like, other, like, I'm looking at the guys that I wouldn't have given any of these guys five for 170.
Not even Simmons?
Nah.
So I just don't see a world where his number comes down next summer. And obviously, like you said, if another team gives him the four-year max, it's different and cheaper for you, but he just feels like a max guy.
Okay, so max him then. What's my rush?
Yeah. No, you certainly can.
That's not, I don't see the benefit, and I, like, knowing, like, that's the point of, if you're going to have restricted free agency as a team, you should use it to your full extent. Because he might be having a great year. And again, knock on wood, we've seen these, like, awful injuries. And again, not to say he can't get back to that, but part of, you're paying for part of that rehab. So let me, and he could do it the second he signs the deal. That's, but I need to see it for full 5 years. I need to see more from Jamal Murray. I have no idea what Ingram gets.
I imagine 5 years, $170 million.
I don't, but again, if Griffin's like, okay, I'm Mr. Future, like, is whatever he does in 1 year going to be like, okay, I'm ready to give you the max. That, again, that's, Drew's making money, you're making money, and presumably Zion's going to be making money. So I don't think he would or should do that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if Ingram all year is the Ingram we saw second half before he had the blood clot incident, I feel like most GMs would give him a max.
Okay, then I'll match it when they do.
No, for sure. I'm just saying, like, what I think is going, that rate's going to be.
But that's, like, I don't, Simmons, I don't see all these guys getting it. I don't think Ingram's, because if those guys get it, Buddy Hill got it right, and I don't think Buddy's going to get it.
Buddy also might be, like, 32.
That's not, either way, he's like, I'm good. My retirement's set. Like, 5 for 170. I'm not giving Buddy Hill 5 for 170. LeVert, I'm not giving him 5 for 170. Siakam, I wouldn't give him 5 for 170. Not before I need to. Because next
summer, you're not saying.
Yeah, I'm not saying. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, I'm driving a hard line. Like, with the Raptors, they have, I think, $90 million expiring next summer.
Yep.
So if they wait, they also have Siakam's cap hold, which it's peanuts because he was picked 27. It's like a couple million. So they can make like a couple, like, colossal moves. And they're like, okay, now here's your 5 for 170. Thanks for waiting.
Right.
So that's why it's like, I can't do it before I need to. You're locking yourself in before you need to. And I think if anything we've learned from the past couple weeks, like, years are bad, right? You know, in 2024, Ben Simmons is going to be 26, Coley. I don't know if...
I wish you hadn't brought that up.
I don't know if EB's thought about that, and I love EB. I texted him that. Stayed on delivery. But it's,
you know, okay. He plays fast and loose. He's not worried about years.
No, again, nor should he be. It's one, like, we just see, okay, flexibility is king. Paul got traded in part because his contract was less. Like, if you can get, like, years are poison now, and it's like, okay, no, this guy hasn't done the one thing essential in this game right now. Now, he still contributed outside of that. There's no doubt about it. But Brogdon was that same class. He got 4 for 84. And even the Bucks were like, I don't know about that.
And I was...
He won Rookie of the Year. Like, he won Rookie of the Year and got considerably better each year. And they were like, oof. We'll take the old man over this.
It does feel like a thing where, like, there's, I can't remember, other than Lou Will, who is the worst agent of all time, I don't know anyone who's taking, like, a hometown discount like you hear in football or baseball in the NBA in a while. Like, it feels like players are more willing to take less elsewhere than less to stay.
Yeah, again, like, it's, because it's so much money.
Yeah.
Like, that's the, it's, I don't know what their options are. Like, if Ingram has a killer year, but the Pelicans are just like, we're just comfortable and move on without you. Like, I don't even know what his max from another team would, like, 4 for 112 or something.
Yeah.
And even then, like, maybe, I'd probably pay that. Like, if I was a team, like, he had a great year, but that's why I was like, 4 for 112 is a big difference from 5 for 170. Like, for the same exact player, I feel like you're hurting yourself unnecessarily.
Yeah.
You're handicapping yourself. It's like, yeah, we believe in our guy this much. It's like, and again, we're seeing, not that money doesn't matter, but it's like, it's the difference between 100 and 125 million on one contract. I'll make that up. No problem.
Right. Yeah, they're in the next CBA, they need to figure out a way where it's mutually beneficial for the team and player to be taking like a 5-170. Like, it almost feels like a penalty.
Yeah. See, so I honestly... go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, they're like, hitting on a guy in the draft shouldn't ever turn into a negative for your own team. You get what I'm saying? Like, it...
Yeah, you especially shouldn't, a second rounder.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like, if you hit in the late 20s, like, you shouldn't be penalized and almost lose a guy or have to make a decision on two guys just because you can draft well.
Yeah, like, that's the Jokic. Like, the Jokic thing was, I think it was, they went ahead and locked him in full max last year, which I think was 5 for 147, because the following year, if they kept him at like $100,000, excuse me, like $1 million, he would have became unrestricted.
Right.
And in that case, if it's like, okay, I have to give you the full five or risk losing you for nothing, yeah, I'd give the full 5, 100%, especially for that Correct. Type of talent. But that's a case where it's like, yeah, because they hit a fucking grand slam on a second round pick. It's like, no, pay him now or lose him forever. And it's like, they couldn't even like play it out the year, because they could have been major players this year. If they knew they didn't have this, they could have waited to pay him, held out on Murray, tried to make like one more splash, and then paid both those guys. But that's it's like, nope, you did too good, PU. So I don't, like, what does that change look like, though? Because I agree with you. I just don't, like, what do you think they would change? What could they change about? I think maybe if it's just something about rookie extension to get, like, no matter where you were picked, if you sign like your rookie extension, I don't know. Some luxury tax, I don't know.
It's almost like you have to create two separate like salary caps for each team. One like homegrown guys, one free agents. So it can be even across the board for the whole league, and you can't like take 80% of your homegrown and take that other 20% and put it with the other. Like, they're completely separate from one another, but it's like, all right, yeah, the Celtics have no problem giving Jaylen Brown 5-170 because it only hits against their homegrown cap, which is like, for the sake of the argument, like 70 mil. And then the free agent one's also 70 mil. So it's like, all right, you have the same for each. And if another team just doesn't want to keep a guy, you can compete for him. Like, it doesn't kill free agency, but it also doesn't punish you. Like the Oklahoma City Thunder should have never had to have broken up just because they were afraid of the luxury tax.
It was like the same, like the Warriors were saved by like a once in generation like cap hut spike.
Yeah.
And the Steph contract. But it was also like, yeah, they hit on like Barnes and Azeeley and Draymond, like relatively speaking, and Clay and Steph. And it's like, you gotta pay all these guys. Like, oh boy, what if we pay one and then swap him out for Kevin Durant? I think it was a great idea. But yeah, either that, I think no trade clauses should be like, I don't think it should have to be like a 10-year, like, I think it's like four straight, you have to be like in the league 10 years, four with like the same team, something like that. I think they should, like, if Lou Will was like, give me 3 for 24, but I want a no trade clause, I think they should be able to do that.
Can he not do that?
No, because he hasn't had whatever at the time you negotiated. It's like, it's so strict. Like, it's why Carmelo, I think, has been the only person like eligible. Even I don't even like LeBron didn't get one because going to the Lakers, he wouldn't have been eligible.
Right.
But I feel like they're too rare. Like, you should be, because, like, that's a gem. If you tell a guy, okay, yeah, I'll take much less. If you tell me, if I can be assured I'm going to stay here, yeah, I'll take $8 million a year. On the open market, yeah. What would Lou Will get this summer? All of it. All the money.
I gotta say, Marcus Morris was getting like 15 per. So.
Had multiple teams fighting over him. And so it's, I'm trying to see of the full. Yeah, nobody in the league has a no trade clause. If you get your offer sheet matched, then you have like no trade for like a calendar year. But let me see what it is. Yeah, you must have at least 8 years of the NBA experience, 4 with the current team. So now it's like nobody, like Westbrook didn't even have one.
Right. Yeah, clearly he's out of there.
And that's where it's like, I feel like you should get like one per roster maybe. Like I'm not saying every deal should be no trade club.
Right.
But you should give like, okay, like the same way you could like stretch or wave somebody, but okay, we're giving, I'm trying to even think who it would be. Like, okay, like if the Bucks this year, it's like, okay, we hit on too many players. They all just came up at the same time. Can we give either Bledsoe or Brogdon? Like, we'll give you, I don't even, 4 for $50 right now, Brogdon, but a no trade clause. You're not going anywhere. Like, can we lock that in right now so we can build our team in the future? Or give that to Bledsoe, give him a lower number, or Middleton, or whoever.
Right.
Because again, like it can't just be money. That's only, I won't say it's not helping anybody, but like again, we'll see. Guys are just going to do what they want to do. The money just doesn't play a factor.
I wonder if even outside of a no trade clause, you could do like a tether, where since we do say the league is just like friends, it's like, all right, Kawhi's going to the Clippers, but his contract's conditional to Paul George also being on the team. Like if you trade Paul George, that's fine, you can do it, but my contract immediately expires at the end of that season.
Yeah, like something probably the Morris twins wish they would have had.
Yeah.
Like again, on deals like that, like that's why, like I'm fine with deals like that. But again, when you split them up immediately, that's where it's like, well, that's why nobody signed a deal like that.
Right.
It's like, yeah, they signed like 4 for $52 for like both brothers, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay, like divvy it up however. And it's like, great, we got you guys on great value. Now we're going to split you up. Well, it was like, well, what the fuck, man? Like, we did this, like, to help you all out, too. If they were able to, like, lock in their no trade, like, okay, we'll do this, but you can't trade us.
Right.
Like, it's
yeah, and if you, something. Like, or if you do, there's just an immediate consequence.
Yeah, or like the trade kicker. And this should be like a like automatic trade. Like Anthony Davis wouldn't have the option to turn it down. Like, yeah, if you trade Marcus Morris, well, yeah, there's a, I don't know, $5 million trade, whatever. But it, like, it should be creative incentives to keep people around. But I don't, it can't just be money. Because again, like, nobody, they don't want to pay the luxury tax. People that take the money and get it are, both sides regret it. Like,
right. It just feels like teams get punished for things that they should be rewarded for, which sucks. Like, I've been thinking about the Thunder a lot this week. I've tried to write
me
about
too.
Them. It's hard. It's, I know you, we've been thinking about them slightly differently. It's,
lay it on me. Cause I've given my point of view on.
Well, it's just like if you went back, not even, it wasn't even a decade ago. Like, it wasn't even that long ago. It was 9 years ago coming off of the Thunder. Not even fucking 7 years ago coming off of LeBron's first title with Durant and the Thunder losing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you couldn't have, there's no odds you would have given me that I wouldn't have bet that that Thunder team won at least one title.
Yeah, just at the like I'm looking at it, they were. Wow, I didn't realize that was the lockout year. Jesus Christ, that feels like 100 years ago. Yeah, they were 47-19, storm right to the finals, 160 games the next year, 59 the next.
And were a correct call away from being up 2-0 in that series.
And then they traded James Harden.
I think about, that's the play I think about the most, that for the non, like, Celtics category, like, what play the last 20 years do I think of the most that had such a butterfly effect on the rest of the NBA? If the Thunder go up 2-0, I really don't think the Heat win that series. I really don't.
Oh, listen, that's my Courtney Lee layup. He makes that layup, the Magic win the title, and that's that.
And, if, like, Durant's not missing those free throws. They go up 2-0. Like, that. When the Celtics were up 3-2 in that series, there were reports, much like Giannis this year, that, like, oh, LeBron, I think they had opt-outs after 2 years.
Probably.
It was like, oh, yeah, LeBron might just leave, or Riley's gonna trade Bosch. Like, something was going to happen if they didn't win a title in year two of that. And, like, imagine if the Thunder just won that first title. Of course they pay James Harden, I would assume. Well,
I don't know. I don't think we can say that.
I would because like it, to think that if
we would like proven, to think that, but again, they were as close as could be and as young as could be, and they were still like, eh, no dice. So I don't think they've earned that benefit of the doubt.
Fair. More than fair. But if you think if they had won that year and then lost in like the Western Conference Finals the next year to the Spurs or something, do you think that changes their perspective, or do you just like hope it changes their perspective?
Well, I think what changed their perspective, trading Harden before they needed to, that's what hurt them. Because he got traded off the finals year. I think that's where, honestly, if you're going back, I think that's where it unraveled. Because it's like, we were as close as can be. Our best players are what, like 23, 23, 22, something like that. And it was like,
they're too old.
Right, yeah. So it's like, okay, one, y'all were disagreeing about what turned out to be like, it was like $8 million over like 4 years or something like that.
Yeah, it was way too small of amount of money.
And so, like, again, Harden's first year on the Rockets, he played on a rookie deal. That's the mistake. Because whatever you're arguing, it's like, okay, whatever it is, that's first, like, we're running back that finals team. And I think, again, I think that's the benefit of running out these, like, your rookie contract a full 4 years. It's like, again, we'll decide whatever we want to do after next year. But
his first year,
yeah, his first year with Houston, he made like $6 million.
5.8.
Yeah, and I'm looking. He averaged 26, 5, and 6.
Then it skyrocketed to 13, 7.
I think it was his first. I mean, it had to have been his first All NBA. I think he's only made All or missed All NBA one time in Houston, and that was the year people decided he was out of shape. Though he played like 74 games.
Like, he's only made. Hasn't updated this year yet. Coming into last year, he had made 117.8 mil. And then he made another 30.4 last year. So he's at like 140, 150 almost. To think that's what cost. Like, they didn't want to pay $150 million over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 all NBA years. So, like, $20 million a year for 7 years, they were like, too much.
No, well, again, they picked Westbrook over Hart. They just bet wrong.
At the time, though, it wasn't even Westbrook. They picked, like, Ibaka over Harden.
Well, again, the point of them doing it before is, like, they picked everybody over Harden. They were like, we just want this guy out of here.
Right.
Because, again, you had, like, at the very least, I'm trying to even think. It'd be like Jalen right now. Like, boy, oh, boy. Like, oh, man, this guy's primed for a good year. We didn't have the kind of year we wanted last year. Oh, no. He wants 5 for 170. We're offering 5 for 158. Won't go a dime over out of here. So you're not even going to let him play out the last. Nope. And again, to a much less, because again, Harden won sixth man of the year that third year.
Right.
So his stock was, I feel like there's a lot of, like, what Harden is right now, averaging 36 a game. I don't think anybody saw that. But what he did the first few, like, I don't think was crazy with what he did the first couple years. Like, it's turned into, like, nobody knew Harden was beat. I was like, well, the sixth man of the year sharing with two other ball dominant guys averaging 17 a game off the bench. You didn't think he might average 25 one day? He was 22 at the time. Now again, the 36 a game. No, I don't think that's where it's like nobody saw this coming.
Right.
But he always got to the line. He was always a good passer. Like, he's always been, like, fine defensively. Like, in terms of his offense, has always outweighed his defense. The passing, I don't think anybody ever saw, like, the leading the league in assist passing, but.
Right.
I'm really trying to, like, if Brogdon took a huge leap, like, not 25 a game, but if Brogdon was like, oh, no, Brogdon's legit, like, 21-5-5 a night, would you be surprised? So it's like, yeah, he just got the minutes. What about that?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, the Thunder were.
It's just wild that core is like, it's just over. It's over. It was already over, but it's less over now in a weird way.
Do you think Durant regrets signing the 5-year?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting now. And if he knew this, I wonder if he just opts in and then decides next year. But it sounds like he just wanted to be in New York. He probably just goes either way.
Probably, but this has to, like, because Ibaka's a free agent next year, too.
I heard that. I was like, oh, man, that'd be something. This is Maury's entire long game. I like your team so much. I scouted them for 8 years. I took them one by one. He brings back Scott Brooks to coach him to a title.
Eric Maynor off the bench.
Wow. Robert Swift checking in.
Nick Collison runs it back.
Man, oh man. So it's like again, I think, like, to get back to the Thunder thing, like, I think that's where it unravel. It's like, you're willing to trade this guy who went on to be as good as we all knew he was going to be. Like, again, we played with this guy and practiced with him every day, and by all accounts, Harden was just like cooking then. It was like, you let him walk for a few million dollars. He's a megastar right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think it makes it that much easier for, again, like, once the first domino dropped, Durant was out. They were stuck with Westbrook. I wouldn't say they overpaid, but, again, I think it should have just been able to overtake his contract instead of add a year.
Yeah, I agree.
So it wouldn't be looking nearly as bad as it does now, but. They got stuck with the worst one, and they traded him for Chris Paul, man. It's rough. But on the flip side, they turned Serge Ibaka into everything they got from Paul George.
It's so rough. Like, it's so rough. It's such an abrupt ending. Like, Thunder fans went into this offseason like, all right, not much we can do. Probably just going to run it back. Maybe not the worst. And now, like, they jettison to the top of my list of teams that, like, may move.
Well, see, that's... I don't... One, if they do, it might not be bad. Like, it might just be time.
Fine with it.
But even, like, I still think, like, they moved their two best players, but the rest of that is basically, like, still a playoff team. Now, again, it's not saying that they're just going to hit the ground running, but again, Chris Paul, Gallinari, SGA... Like, I don't know what Billy Donovan wants. Like, this might be what he wanted all along. He's like, wow, I have a point guard that might listen to what I want to do for once. And Chris Paul's like, actually.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Shea.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Chris Paul butts in like, I'm going to do anything. And Billy's like, okay, you can just sit down, dude. Like, you don't have the power here.
Yeah, I don't. It's not sounding like Chris Paul's going to be on the team very long, if at all.
Okay, so who trades for him?
It's got to be like the Lakers or the Heat. I don't know who else.
Yeah, it sounds like Miami. But like, if it's my, I don't know what I'm giving up if I'm Miami.
Listen, if they can get really any of Miami's young pieces or just anything from Miami,
they don't have any more young people. Like either, like Bam or Justice.
Yeah,
I'll say Richardson's out. And I only say that because, like, Justin, like, he's still young, but he's on second contract, so.
He is, but for, like, I'll be there with you at Chesapeake Bay Arena if it's Justice and Shea.
Yeah, if I could get one of those for sure. But again, if I'm Miami, I'm like, no. Like, just not, like, I would like Chris Paul, not at the expense. I'm like, you can have anything else. And at that point, it's like, I did, somebody said it was like, if they just completely remove those restrictions on the picks. I was like, that's okay. Interesting. It's like, but yeah, just here's Chris Paul, the salary, whatever to match, probably.
Dragic.
Probably Dragic, who they then probably trade to Dallas for something else. Sure, they probably trade him for Jalen Brunson. I'm like, man, Oklahoma City's cooking.
That's what I'm saying. If they could get, I think Miami said Bam's off the table. I think they were saying that during the Westbrook deal, so he's definitely off the table for Chris Paul.
Yeah.
But, like, Winslow and Dragic.
I'd do it for Winslow in a heartbeat. But, again, if I'm those two are untouchable. Like, again, anybody else you want, any other, even draft picks. Because, again, if we're going to, like, Butler and Paul, we're clearly focused on the present. So I'm fine. Okay, yeah, remove the restrictions on those draft picks. Here's Chris Paul. But it's like Winslow or no. Because I'm Oklahoma City. Yeah, one of those, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that'd be a coup.
Like, you want Steven Adams too? Give me Steven Adams, and I'll just take Winslow and Bam off your hands, guy.
Thunder it right back where they started. Like, oh, look at all these promising young guys. Oh, we got to pay one of them? No, thank you.
Well, what if they said, okay, you take Paul, but you have to take Adams too. But it's also like, we'll take back, like, we need Bam. Like, since you're getting Adams, we need Bam. And whatever contracts to match.
I'm trying to see. Let me go to the trade machine to see if this is even feasible. That's so much money.
Listen, the Heat have all the money. The Heat have whatever salary you want to make a trade worth. I think that's why they signed all those shitty salaries. They're all moderate.
It's possible.
You can't trade Batum. That's like $28 million. You can trade James Johnson. But I was like, yeah, you're just trying to win right now. Look, here's Adams, and I might would do it for one of them. But like, we just want justice and to get way under the luxury tax.
I put Dragic, Johnson, and Winslow in it. Guys who make 19, 15, and 13 mil. Not enough money.
By how much?
It said 4 mil.
Okay.
So
that's doable. Because I have no idea how trade exceptions work, but that feels like a...
Right. There's a Wayne Ellington $6 million trade exception here.
Wait, so is Olenek in Dallas?
I believe so, yeah. Okay. He's on... Trade Machine takes forever to update.
Okay, that's
the fact that we live in these... The fact that we live in these times where it's so far behind the eight ball.
I don't... This still show him in... So, I guess... The Dallas deal was just off to Miami. Yeah, it says Olenek. Yeah, he's still in there. Good for him.
Maybe Myers Leonard as an expiring. Let's see. That's two. Myers Leonard cannot be traded in combination with another player. All right.
Damn. Not Myers Leonard.
I know.
No, I'm being close.
Jesus, sorry.
Yeah, this can happen. Once you get to like that close,
it could definitely happen.
Yeah. So that would be my. But yes, you get Chris Paul, but like I'm trying to compete now, right?
Then maybe you can sell like Schroeder and Roberson off for parts, Gallinari.
Yeah, well, that's like with Gallinari, I'm like, okay, you got to take Roberson too. That's how I get rid of him.
Right.
And then I feel like you're kind of stuck with Schroeder, but at that point, it's like that's where it's like, okay, who wants? That's where I use some of these picks. Who wants a 2038 Miami pick?
Because I like Bazley coming out of the kid who refused to go to Syracuse.
Smart kid.
I got Hammy. They got Shea. Yeah, I wouldn't hate this offseason for them if they could pull off like a Justice or something like that out of Chris Paul.
I wouldn't hate it at all. I think it would be a good off season. If it were,
but you know what's good?
Hmm?
Oh, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say that might be how you get off Patrick Patterson's contract. But no, tell me what's good. Tell me right now.
That most of this interview with Ice Cube, and then, boy, oh boy, does it go off the rails.
Yeah. He's a nice guy, but, you know, man. He bombed his stock at the end.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, folks.
Ice Cube, Anthony Davis in New Orleans, Jackson.
We asked him what it was like. Once you asked him what it was like for the Lakers to be little brother, that's where he got a little rattled.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, I should have led with that. I was like, nah, then he just would have been angry all interview.
Correct, and I was right there next to him.
Yeah, it would have been great for me, but and the listeners, so next time.
Yeah, next time Ice Cube comes in, Tyler will have him beat me mercilessly.
That'll be great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We'll see you guys later this week with a big time surprise.
Oh boy.
That's right.
Are you good to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. We got Ice Cube in the building and the big three.
Yeah, yeah.
Is getting rid of players left and right. What's going on?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say getting rid of players. You know, we deactivating players that we feel are not ready to play or can't play or won't play. Mm-hmm. And we got an 8-week season, okay? It's not like, you know, months and months and months. Right. If you haven't played or suited up by game 3 or 4, we kind of figure you can't play or you won't play or you're not going to help your team. You're actually going to hurt your team coming back. And it's not fair to the guys that are coming, busting their ass, playing hard, and, you know, you got guys that's just, you know, basically coming in street clothes. And this is not a celebrity game.
Right.
It's not a pickup game. You know, I'm not asking people to play.
Right.
I'm actually paying them.
Right. They're employees. Play. Yeah.
You know, so right. You got to, you know, it's not the NBA. You gotta play to get paid or to be a part of the league or you can come sit down with me. You're welcome.
Yeah.
And those guys can still, if they get it together next year, they can still come back and be part of the big three.
So did you feel like they lacked, like, respect for what was going on? Or was it just they weren't ready to play?
Well, I think, you know, it was some medical issues. Mm-hmm. And there was some real injuries. You know, whether they lack respect or not, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if you can't play, you can't be in the league.
Right.
You can't just be a dude just standing there or be on the bench taking up a roster spot because you got over, you know, we had over 100 guys going out for 31 spots.
Right.
So we still have a big draft pool of players that want to play. And they look and then they seeing guys just dressed and not playing. They like, I could be actually out there playing. Mm-hmm. And so it starts to mess with the other players, you know. It starts to mess with the morale of the other players when they coming out busting their ass and then a guy is getting the same amount as them and not doing nothing and they know the guy is not all the way injured or whatever. Mm. It's just that's not good for the league. So we had to make some changes. And not just on basketball personnel. We're going to make some changes when it comes to staff, too. You know, we have to tighten up. We got a lot of things right with the big three, but we got some things wrong, too, that we got to fix or, you know, we're not doing our job.
Is this year 2 or 3?
3.
3, yeah. So you guys, I mean, you're still trying to grow the league. It has grown.
Yes.
And you're trying to make sure everyone's on the same page at this stage of where the league is.
That it stay tight, that it's all about competition, that guys are playing at a high level, and that guys can compete at a high level. See, some guys think they're going to just walk off the couch and come in and put up numbers in the big three. Mm. And they all get a rude awakening because it's a different brand of basketball.
Definitely.
It's a different style, and it takes different skill sets. And you don't get rest. You know, you defense, the offense, the defense, right. Real quick. So at the bounce of a ball, you're on defense. And so – you know, you got to adjust to that. Your body got to be ready for that. and you got to figure out how to be successful in that style of basketball. So guys come in kind of cocky thinking they're going to just, you know, come in and dominate, and they realize that they can't.
Who had the rudest awakening, would you say?
You know, I'm not sure, but I hear about all the buckets people going to put up, and I look at their box score and it's 2 points, 7 points. You know, and then you get another game, they think, okay, I had a bad game. And then game two come around and it's 4 points, 5 points. And then, you know, as 3-4 games, they get it under their belt, they start to realize what it takes. And I guess they gain a whole new respect on the training it takes to be ready. And then, you know, if guys do that, then they start to see more success.
I know, I think it was 2 weeks ago, you guys had Greg Oden and Scalabrine going at it. Like, yeah, getting after it, just like hard-nosed basketball.
It's what people want to see.
Yeah.
It's what people love. We have a place for the big man in the big
game. You sure do.
Yeah. You know, and to see seven-footers playing three-on-three basketball, I mean, if you haven't, you know, come out to a game, it's exciting. You know, that's worth the mission. It's just seeing guys that big playing a game that we used to play, you know, growing up.
Everyone played 3-on-3.
Yeah, you know, so, and it's a, you know, it's just three games for the price of one. Seeing all these different faces and all these different top-notch basketball gods as far as our coaches, and it's just a great thing. We usually have a performer, entertainer. Oh, we got Jim Jones this week in Brooklyn.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so
okay.
It's fun, you know, it's just a fun afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah, since you guys travel and go city to city, like, has any specific team gotten more fanfare than others, or is it more important to grow the league? Like, what's your strategy for that?
Well, the strategy is to be able to go to places that don't have pro teams, so they can witness, you know, this great event. And we feel like it's the future, you know, connecting to a city, you kind of lock in to that fan base, and you never know if you're going to get outside of that fan base. So we took a NASCAR kind of approach to the league, where come cheer for your favorite guys, your favorite players, and then eventually that'll be probably your favorite team. And we're going to places where guys have a history of playing. Like, you know, a lot of our guys in Brooklyn used to be Nets, you know what I mean, or played in Brooklyn. Some of our guys in Providence, you know, went to Rhode Island, you know, like Cotino Mobley. So, you know, those are some of the reasons why we do what we do. But, you know, to have something this cool and not go to places like, you know, Birmingham, or, you know, we're going to Kansas City and we're going to Providence. They don't have pro teams. So we feel like this is why you do this, is to be able to go to places that haven't seen basketball on this level in a very long time.
What's been like the hardest? Because it was even something you just mentioned. What's been the hardest to get through customers' minds that this isn't a celebrity game? Like, you're not going to see people taking it light. Like, you're going to see competition.
Just getting the word out, you know, and we have a big obstacle, because we're trying to get people in the building, but you can see it on free. You can see it free on CBS, you know.
And that was big for you. You guys got to see it. Yeah. This is first year with CBS, right?
First year with CBS.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a weird dynamic, you know. Why should I go? And you should go, because being in the building is a lot funner than just watching on TV, especially if we come to your city. You never know when we coming back. If we close, man, do yourself a favor. Come check us out.
We went to me and him went to the first one in Brooklyn.
Yeah, the 5-hour marathon.
Well, there was an injury early 60, on.
Yeah.
So who got hurt?
It was two.
Jason Williams and
Corey Maggette.
Oh, Corey Maggette got hurt. That's right. Too. That's right. But we were just, like, taking it all in. Fabulous performance. It was tremendous. And when Iverson walked out, it was the closest I think I'll ever get to, like, the Beatles.
Yeah.
Like, the first time they performed on, like, that place. He wasn't even playing. He just happened to walk to a place where people could see him.
The other game was still going on.
Yeah. Like, shots were going up. People were uproarious throughout the crowd. Like, that's the kind of thing. And I know that was the first one, so there were a bunch of NBA players like sideline watching it, just trying to get a feel for it. Do you still get that going from city to city? Like,
oh yeah, you know, we get, you know, definitely get a lot of NBA players coming out checking us out, a lot of celebrities, and the crowds are, you know, it's more of a sporting event than just an event.
Right. For
so
sure.
Now fans are really getting into the basketball and the X's and O's and, you know, who's performing. And that's where we want to be. You know, at the end of the day, if the basketball doesn't catch on, we're dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people right. are not just going to go watch celebrities play.
I feel like it feels like early MMA in a sense, where it's like you guys have the event that people want to check out, and it's not necessarily like, oh, I even know these two fighters, but once they start fighting, it's like, oh, they're getting it on out there.
Without a doubt. And that's what we want. That's what we love to see. We don't want to see friends play. We want to see enemies play.
For sure. Yeah, it's the antithesis of the NBA.
Yeah. So we like the trash talking. We like the hand checking. We like guys, you know, being able to express themselves. And, you know, there's a lot of stakes. You know, we do revenue sharing, 51% with the players, but it depends on where you finish in the standings. So if you finish first, you get first place money.
Yeah.
You finish last, you get last place money. So we've injected all these incentives for guys to go hard and play hard. Like, it's an 8-game season. You can't lose.
Yeah.
You know, you lose, you might be out the playoffs. So every incentive we can think of to get guys to play hard and give people their money's worth.
Like, this is year three. A lot of expansion leagues are on the ropes by year three. And you might have answered, like, just innovation like this. What else are y'all doing to, like, you're still going up, the partnership with CBS, the deal with Adidas.
Yeah.
Like, why are you going up in year three when other expansion leagues are usually shutting it down by year three?
I think we got a great product, and I think, you know, we do great numbers as far as 18 to 49. You know, our 18 to 49 viewership is through the roof, very impressive, and kind of like in line with the four major sports. So I think that's a reason, you know, it catches people's eye. It caught our sponsors' eye. We got Adidas now, State Farm, Toyota. We've had Alex Anani, CBD MD. So
friend of ours as well.
Yeah, and E&J Brandy. Okay. You know, is our new sponsor.
Friend of mine.
it's kind of cool to you know, for people to see what we're doing. And understand that, you know, if you can see the vision, if you can see around the corner in the future, this league can definitely grow and be here for a long time. It's an Olympic sport.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very legitimate. And we think we should have a dream team. I mean, like, who else going to represent America for the Olympics in 3-on-3 than the big three players?
So who would you send over? Who would be the all-star team? I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, man. You know, I sent Joe Johnson and okay. Maurice Stoudemire over, without a doubt.
Okay.
Steven Jackson.
Help. Yeah, leading scorer.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we get our guards in there. But you know, to me, it's a no-brainer. You should be using the best in the world at it.
So is that what your position, like, jockeying for right now? You're trying to make sure you guys are involved in that Olympics? Because that would be huge. That's international exposure.
Well, you know, what we're saying is we have players that's available that can represent America, players you know.
I mean,
and why not look our way? Now, if you don't want to do it, you know, I feel sorry for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if USA Basketball really wants to make sure they win a gold medal, they'll look our way.
It's all like at the end of the opening Olympic ceremony, they always have the people who aren't even attached to any country. They've like qualified on their own. Maybe you guys, if USA isn't looking that way, it's just big three nation. We have our own country.
Yeah, that may be a way to go, but it's better if we represent the United States.
Definitely.
You know, and
but
they should have a come to Jesus moment and do it.
If you guys are trying to be the anti-friend league, you pulling a Vince McMahon and being like, we're our own, fuck it, we're our own country now. That would be all time.
Nah, we're gonna try to do it right. We just, you know, happy to be able to grow our sport in any kind of way we can. So we definitely, we're here. We're available.
I'm with it.
Who's coaching that team? If you send them to the Olympics, would it be Nancy Lieberman? You get Nancy. Dr. J in there. Who's Charles Oakley? Like, who's coaching that team?
Man, you know, we got some great coaches as far as the passion for the game. It's a few coaches that go the extra mile. I don't want to put nobody on blast, but we got a few.
That's fine. Nancy Lieberman loves us. She's adopted us several times. We know that's the correct answer.
Yeah, she's great. I mean, she's extremely prepared.
Oh, yeah.
And she makes sure her players are prepared, gets them film and all these, you know, plays.
Fresh
and,
off the title.
Yeah, that's, you know, right. She's sending them, you know, their offensive sets. And that's why she's a champion. That's why they won, you know. As serious as you take it, as far as you'll go. And the teams that don't take it quite as serious, they're always at the bottom of the barrel. So
right now you get a guy like Amari Stoudemire who's been getting some, I can't say low-key because I know about it, but NBA workouts. Is that something you see as a positive for the Big Three?
Oh, yeah. We had a guy named Xavier Silas last year.
Yep. Celtics.
Yeah, he ended up getting a 10-day contract with the Celtics. And actually hit the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's big for our league. You know, our league is new. And if guys, scouts, turn on their TV and check us out or come to a game and check us out, they'll see that it is talent that can make it back into the NBA that we have. And if they do that, it just further legitimizes what we're doing.
Definitely.
And makes guys feel like, if I want to make it back, maybe I should play in the Big Three to try to, you know, get a workout or whatever.
Just catch someone's eye.
That's huge. And we do have great players, you know, and some of them are out the league for whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not just because they're, you know, older player. It's because it's not the room on the roster.
Right.
So, you know, we got guys we know can make it back.
So this is a weird question, and if you don't want to answer it, I understand, but a guy like Tyreke Evans, who's kind of like not banned from the league, but he's not like allowed back in quite yet. Mm-hmm. With the Big Three.
Banned.
Yeah, he's banned, but like he can like appeal it a year or two from now or something like that.
I think he's got to wait, I think, 2 years to even appeal.
Right, that's, yeah. So is that a guy the Big Three would look at? Or,
yes.
Okay.
Of course, you know, he could still play. Is he 27 yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, he's good to go. He can come next year, get on the team, and show them that, you know, they made a mistake, or come get me when this ban is over or whatever. Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
Nice.
I got. How you feel about the Lakers being little brother now?
To who?
Why just completely?
And who opinion?
The Paul George Clippers.
How you say that? How do you figure LeBron is Kawhi's little brother? You think Anthony Davis is Paul George's little brother?
Really? Anthony Davis doesn't even dress himself.
Man, come on now. Take another look. Don't get caught in the hype. Take another look. We'll be just fine. Trust me.
Are you excited that there are two legitimate basketball? I mean, it kind of happened with Lob City, but the Lakers kind of stunk then. There are two legitimate basketball powerhouses in L.A. right now for the first time really ever. What is it? Do you guys even care as Laker fans?
I mean, there's one powerhouse, and then there's one team that is
has the
way.
Finals MVP.
Yeah, that's in the way, you know, that's been stinking up our gym, stealing our mojo for 20 years.
Hanging Taylor Swift banners.
Yeah, you know, hanging up selfies instead of hanging up championship banners. So... You know, they'll be all right. I don't believe in an organization. So
when
you don't believe in an organization, I don't care who they got.
Right now.
It is still not.
Objectively.
They're still the Clippers.
They are still the Clippers.
The Dippers.
But that,
all dip and no chip.
That's the only negative I can say about them right now. Your front office, garbage.
Well,
They don't know what's going on. They don't even know when to trade for Anthony Davis. Kawhi told them when to trade for Anthony Davis.
Well, you know, we got Kawhi. We got LeBron. We'll see. Lakers front office has always been whispers here and there, mm-hmm. and it's turned out right. Some things haven't, but they've not lacked trying. Like,
fair.
You know, the Dwight Howard, Steve Nash mm-hmm. experiment mm-hmm. or debacle.
However you want to look at it.
Was still moves made by the front office. Fact. So they make the moves. Do they always work? No, not for any team.
No, they do
so,
not.
So you look up, we were the laughing stock of the summer, and you look up and we got LeBron and AD,
yeah.
and nobody's laughing now. And so they come through again. And so I believe in that organization, no matter how much sensationalized the front office situation is. Yeah. I still believe in the organization to get it right.
Do you like moving on from Luke Walton and bringing in like five head coaches? You'll wait and see.
Yeah. You know, I liked Luke before LeBron mm-hmm. got there. And, you know, when LeBron is there and the dynamic was there, you know, maybe they do need to move on.
Are you going to pop up in Space Jam 2?
Nah. Nah.
Fair.
I'm going to just let them do that.
You don't want to be the Bill Murray character?
No. No.
Save the day?
Nah. I'm going to just go check it out.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And hopefully it's good.
I don't know.
We'll also see it. So they've already won.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like you would know better than us.
What?
That if it's going to be good or not. I'm not tapped into Hollywood. You're well, in,
you know, the movie. They got some good people shooting the movie and making the movie. So I think they'll take care of LeBron and the players like you know, the first Space Jam yeah. took care of Michael. You know, Michael wasn't the best actor in the world. You know,
see, I give him more credit. Like, he was talking to chairs. Like, he barely had any human interaction in that. The fact that that movie's even watchable is a testament to his acting chops.
Yeah, okay.
You see those Hanes commercials? Know,
Eddie Murphy act against chairs and and tennis balls. And
for sure.
And, you know.
Eddie Murphy can't give me 35, too, though.
Well, in the movie he can. In the movie he can. But you know, so we'll see. You know, I just saw this, you know, Uncle Drew movie. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of basketball players in it.
Sure did.
They did great.
Yeah.
So I think LeBron's going to do great.
Yeah. It's certainly. I just don't know what the plot's going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you care?
I do. The first one, the plot was incredible. Like, I'm a big Looney Tunes guy.
Yeah.
Big Bugs Bunny guy. Big Danny DeVito guy.
Who you want him to fight now? SpongeBob SquarePants?
Well, that's the thing. Maybe. That would be a different plot. I wouldn't see that coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They'll figure it out.
They have to. They've put themselves on a deadline.
They
don't have much of a choice. They'll figure it out. I'm from Boston, if you can't tell yet.
That don't make you a bad guy.
Well, depends who you ask. but I grew up watching idolizing Conan O'Brien, who you've done a lot of work with. Is he uncomfortably white?
No, he's actually extremely white in his own skin. Like,
sure.
he understands that.
Oh,
and he
sure
like rolls with it. Mm-hmm. You know, he lays into it.
Yeah, he doesn't try to be anything else.
And it's funny. You know, he lays into it and it's funny.
I mean, he's rapped for you before. Was that the most uncomfortable you've ever been?
No.
Is this?
Nah. He's actually just a good dude who's real funny, and he keeps it that way. You know, he stays in his lane, and he wants you to get on him in his lane. So it's kind of cool. We did some funny stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Went viral, me and him and
Kevin Hart.
And that was just like off the cuff, made like top of the head, let's just go.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a funny dude.
Who do you – so you've had so many jobs, been in so many avenues, but when it comes to, like, acting and doing comedy and whatnot, who do you, like, bounce off of the best? Who's
Mike Epps.
Yeah, he was on today's episode we just put out.
Yeah, Mike Epps. Yeah. He's just naturally funny without having to get into a mold. Mm-hmm. He's just that guy, you know. And I just love him because he's always real and he's always making me laugh. And so me and him, we can do anything together and it's going to be good.
Okay. Okay.
Is Last Friday going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah. It's in motion. We just finished the script. So we got to do a polish on it, make it a little tighter, and then we start casting it and shoot it.
That's going to be massive.
Perfect. I got one last question. The infamous Good Day triple-double. Did you stat chase? Be honest.
Were you Westbrook out there?
Look, man, yeah, I was stat chasing, man. I was trying to get a triple-double. Okay. You know what I mean? I dished off 10 assists, scored 10 points, and got 10 rebounds. I don't know what's so hard. We was going to 21.
I was
going to
say, what was the score that you can't get triple-double?
21 by ones and twos. What's okay. The deal?
So you were hitting a lot of, like, slashes. You weren't assisting any threes.
Nah, you know. No threes. Well, it's no threes. Exactly. It's twos.
Yeah, this was, what, 93? When was this?
So, well, I did the triple-double way before that. It's like 92.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eons but I went 93.
Look, before Westbrook, I went a whole season and I got triple-double. The whole year. Every pickup game I played in, I got triple-double. So they didn't announce that. They was talking about Westbrook. And they was talking about you know, Oscar Robinson and all that junk.
But Fat Lever.
Yeah, they didn't talk about me.
You showed Jason Kidd the way.
Please. Yep. I was Jason Adult.
Ice Cube, I have utmost respect for you. PU.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, man, if Space Jam won you for the soundtrack, nah, never mind.
Listen, man, y'all can't be talking about me. You know what I mean? You ain't even here.
I am. Yeah, he's going to beat the hell out of me. Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah, you ain't even here, man. Talking head about me and my corny little jokes. That's cool.
He's coming to yeah. Big Three is moving to Atlanta next week. It wasn't supposed to be there, but he's coming for you.
I see you out there, man. See what you got to
my
say.
My last question before we let you get out of here and save my life. What's Ice Cube listening to these days? What's in your rotation right now?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I don't care about music right now. I got my head in basketball.
Didn't you put something out last year?
Yeah. Everything's Corrupt. It came out last year. But now I'm just knee-deep in the season. Tunnel vision. Blinders on. All I care about right now is basketball.
Steven Jackson's not handing you his mixtape every
5 seconds? Nah, I wouldn't take it.
Now Steven Jackson's going to beat me up. All right, I'm going to get you out of here before I get myself in more trouble. Ice Cube, Big Three, coming to a city near you next Friday, coming out sooner or later. Corny dad jokes, whenever you need them on demand.
Look, check out the Big Three this weekend. We in Providence, Rhode Island. You can see us on CBS at noon Eastern. And then on Sunday, we in Brooklyn. Come to the game or check us out on CBS noon Eastern.
There it is. Yay. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm balling out the front. Niggas like the front. You know I like the front. I kiss you like a punter. My young niggas, my young niggas. I'm a head huncho. And I got no nacho. Nacho. Eat nigga like tacos. Taco. My nigga the one. He don't want no get you in street. That's that 223. That's that LP. And that LCT. If a red bean. Aim at your whole team. Blow you like some steam. Wipe them all, they clean. Running from the cops. Gotta keep my guard. When I see them cops, you know I have my glove. Middle finger fork, 12, always on my gloves. Middle finger to the arm, we gon' pop at arms. Pop a body, drop a drop, cop a body, deuce. They be talking about it, but don't know who be doing it. These niggas be talking, they let me squeeze. Let me squeeze, XD, XD, let me squeeze. Yeah, Glock 17, okay. 30 mean, 30. Yeah, hang up out that wet, bitch, please. Okay. Yeah, that's a walk or squeeze. Yeah, leave him in the screen. Yeah, that's a cold cave. Yeah, he that murder rate. Yeah, you know Charles did. All in the butt, man. Play with the butt, man. We know you getting spent. We don't talk that shit. We be back that shit. You gotta walk it, you gotta talk it. Nigga, be about it. All that talking, can I be talking? Nigga, gonna see about you. You don't wanna make news. That 5-5 crew. Put you in the dirt. You're 10 downs. Yeah, you say you're 10 toed, but you stand down. Ho,
Okay, nigga, 100 shots, I'll nigga man down. Okay, now they call my phone, tell my stand down. Now I need some money, got my hand out. You got yourself in some shit, now you can't get out. Okay, you're running from the cops, gotta keep my Glock. When I see them cops, you know I have my Glock. Middle finger fucked, yeah, always on my block. Middle finger to the arm, we gon' pop it off. Pop a body, drop a cop a body, deuce. They be talking about it, but don't know who be doing it. These niggas be talking, they let me squeeze, let me squeeze. XD, XD, let me squeeze.
They tryna be crack, they tryna be crack. She wanted me cutty, that bitch is a baby. I don't fuck these hoes, I'm 7:30. I'm in a pack like Kid Cudi, I smoke dope like Kid Cudi. Shop and get the slugs from me, I'm with all this shit. We pull up with shit, we pull up with.
See them cops, you know I have my gloves. Middle finger fucked, yeah, always on my gloves. Middle finger to the arm, we gon' pop it off. Pop a body, drop a cop a body, deuce. They be talking about it, but don't know who be doing it.